Pianos and Pianos and the unique technique Accelerated Piano Method guarantees you'll be playing exciting songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Click on the video now to go to their website. The unique technique Accelerated Piano Method, only at Pianos and Pianos.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. What will stay and what will go? Starting today, President Obama issues marching orders on government spending. CBS's Peter Mayer reports.
President Obama will use his first full cabinet meeting to order departments and agencies to cut their spending. He wants a line-by-line look at spending to cut a total of $100 million over the next 90 days. A senior official says he will point to Veterans Affairs Department efforts to hold video conferences instead of out-of-town meetings, the Agriculture Department's consolidation of field offices, and a change in Homeland Security supply ordering procedures. The president plans to announce the elimination of dozens of programs found to be wasteful or ineffective. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Washington.
There are signs that the end of the recession is in sight. That's the bottom line of a new survey by the National Association for Business Economics. Lead analyst Sarah Johnson says the downturn is not over by any means.
We might say we're at an inflection point, but we're not yet at a turning point. It will probably be another 6 months or so before we see an upturn in economic output.
It was a day branded in the nation's memory.
Everyone around me got shot, and I begged him for 10 minutes not to shoot me.
Her name is Janine, one of the students who survived the 1999 massacre at Columbine High in Littleton, Colorado. The school is closed today in memory of the 12 students and one teacher killed by Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold before they took their own lives. Yesterday, hundreds of people attended a candlelight vigil at sunset in the Denver suburb. More from CBS News correspondent Lee Frank.
A community memorial service is planned in the park next to Columbine, now the site of a walk-around monument with red sandstone and carved messages of remembrance and healing. They help, says Principal Frank DeAngelis.
The scars that we have today are not going to heal with time. They're here with us for the rest of our lives, but you know that you're not in this alone.
Looking for lessons learned, the stepfather of murdered student Lauren Townsend says he finds hope in efforts to reduce school violence and changes in how police now respond.
When they knew there was shooting, when they heard kids screaming in the library, they didn't go in to save them. That has changed, and we know that lives have been saved because of Columbine.
Bruce Beck says the legacy of Columbine should be more attention on what kids are saying and doing at school and at home.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. A man drives his young nephews 2.5 hours to this big bustling Cabela's gun department to stock up.
8,000 rounds of ammo. Well, that's nothing. You shoot that in 22 in a couple weeks with these boys.
Across America, tens of thousands of teens still fire weapons, and school shootings? Rare, says Ronald Stevens at the National School Safety Center.
Individuals are 1,000 times more likely to have something like this happen out in the local community.
More schools have metal detectors. Teachers are more mindful of troubled kids. At teencentral.net, though, Dr. Julius Licata sees daily evidence Columbine could recur.
We get letters from kids who say, I'm on the edge. I'm going to go after someone.
Police are told about serious threats, such as one from a Washington State teen promising a rampage. It and six other imminent shootings were thwarted in the past year.
When the police got there, there were a slew of guns. He was ready to put that plan into effect.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Hamburg, Pennsylvania.
In Oklahoma City yesterday,
we'll stand together.
Hundreds of people gathered to mark the 14th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing, in which 168 people were killed, the deadliest act of homegrown terrorism in the country's history. Four past the hour.
There's no question that a single instrument can sound beautiful, but place it among different yet equally beautiful ones, and the result can be magical. It's like the harmonies created in a diverse neighborhood where folks from different religious, racial, and cultural backgrounds all lend their own unique tone to the community voice. To better understand the benefits of diversity, log on to www.aricherlife.org. A message brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance in celebration of the 40th anniversary of the Fair Housing Act.
Energy efficiency interviews are brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Lisa, do you always leave your stereo on in the other room?
Oh, well, I was going to turn it off, but everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days.
You're just repeating the lyrics to Hannah Montana's song.
Okay, I'm turning it off.
Millions of kids are using their energy wisely. What's your excuse? Learn more at loseyourexcuse.gov.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Today marks the 10th anniversary of the deadly shootings at Columbine. Lauren Townsend was one of the 13 killed that day. Her mother, Dawn Anna, says other similar plots have likely been broken up because of increased vigilance since Columbine. And she wants the anniversary to represent hope, not tragedy.
How many have been stopped because of Columbine? You know, you don't hear that. Because of Columbine, this one was stopped. Columbine means that as well.
Anna says she and her family plan to spend today in nature thinking about Lauren. The high school is closed today. Power should return today for most portions of Evergreen, where it's been out since the storm hit. Heavy runoff expected to be a problem over the next few days as the weekend snow melts down. Officials are warning people to be careful.
If we have a major rainstorm or a snowstorm like we had, or even if we experience a lot of melt-off, the river starts to run rapidly, water levels start to rise, and people need to be aware of their surroundings, where they are, and how to get to higher ground.
Ann Williams with Denver Public Works speaking to 9 News. Nearly 6 feet of snow fell in some parts of the mountains. Here in the metro area, we got between 2 and 4 inches of water. And health officials say a produce handler at a Littleton Albertsons store has tested positive for hepatitis A, raising the possibility that some customers may have been exposed to the contagious disease. The Tri-County Health Department says people who ate vegetables or melon from the store face a low risk of exposure but should get vaccinated as a precaution. Sports: Nuggets swat the Hornets 113-84. Game 2 of the series is Wednesday night at Pepsi Center, and the Rockies begin a 3-game series in Arizona tonight after falling to the Dodgers 14-2 yesterday. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
The recently released Amazon Kindle 2 has a couple of new buttons, the iPhone and iPod Touch. A new app has just been pushed out through Apple's App Store, which allows users to read the exact same Kindle content with their Apple devices. It doesn't end there, though, as shared features include the ability to sync bookmarks, buy new content, and more.
Inspector Gadget.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Looking for a new companion to keep track of the time and the number of calories you're burning? You need to check out the latest additions to Garmin's Forerunner range of watches, including the 310 XT, which features a robust exterior, is waterproof to 50 meters, boasts improved calorie counting accuracy, and also has GPS and wireless connectivity capabilities.
Inspector Gadget.
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow-up to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future. With the new iPod Shuffle, think zero, as in zero buttons. Yep, user control of the new Shuffle from the main unit to the headphones results in a reduction in size of around 50%. As cool as it sounds, though, there is one small caveat. If you're doing anything other than sitting still, you're going to have trouble grabbing the constantly swaying headphone control.
Inspector Gadget.
On this issue and on the tragedy on Friday in the Denver Post, the question I asked in the column was, can we mature past a debate over video games and gun control? That's where the discussion over these horrible Columbine and Columbine-like shootings still remains in our national consciousness. And we've had a lot of these Columbine-like shootings of late. Binghamton, Alabama. There was a shooting in Germany. As of a couple weeks ago, we were having one almost once a month. And I hope we can mature past the debate over gun control and video games, because I think that when we boil down or oversimplify tragedies like Columbine into soundbite debates over simple problems and simple solutions, we don't get at the heart of what's potentially going on. And in my column, I talk about how we have both created an economy that has sown a lot of despair and a lot of alienation in the country. We have an economy now that forces many families to work two jobs, less time for family time. We're cutting budgets at schools. We're cutting budgets at mental health services. And that potentially increases alienation. It's hard to make sure troubled kids don't go over the edge when parents are stretched to the brink and when educational and social service support structures are being gutted. And then there's the question of how we organize our society. Video games, you know, they can be pretty violent, but the question really is the violence in video games a representation of very real violence that happens out in the real world and that we actually deliberately organize our society around? Remember, a lot of these video games come from a representation of military violence. And so much of our economy is organized around militarism. A couple weeks ago we had on an author of a book called Smart Bomb, and she talked about, and it's a book about video games, and she talked about how the military actually uses a lot of these video games to train kids and potential recruits, to desensitize the culture to violence and militarism. And so as we reflect back on the Columbine shootings today, I ask you to consider the fact that perhaps the tragedy isn't so simple. Perhaps getting to the actual heart of what happened, whether at Columbine or at any of the other numbers of shootings, that getting to the actual heart of the issue, why our society has so many more of these shootings than places like Canada, places like Europe, I ask you to consider the fact that maybe it's not, there are no easy answers to this. Maybe there aren't, you can't just boil it down into a media debate over gun control and video games. I don't think you can. Let's do a little news rundown before we get to the phones. Do some national news, then we'll do some local news. We've got a really good show for you today. National news, President Obama plans to convene his cabinet for the first time today, where he will order members to identify a combined $100 million in budget cuts over the next 90 days. This is the Washington Post. This is a largely symbolic measure, I think. $100 million is not very much in a budget that's about $2 trillion. U.S. may convert bank bailouts to equity share. President Obama's top economic advisors have determined that they can shore up the nation's banking system without having to ask Congress for more money anytime soon. It's a significant shift. White House and Treasury Department officials now say they can stretch what is left of the $700 billion financial bailout further than they had expected simply by converting the government's existing loans to the nation's 19 biggest banks into common stock. Converting those loans to common shares would turn the federal aid into available capital for a bank and give the government a large ownership stake in return. Some critics will consider this a backdoor to nationalization. The Treasury has already negotiated this kind of conversion with Citigroup, so I think this is a decent step. What I can make of it right now, we'll have to find out the details. Wall Street Journal, President Obama will soon turn his attention to high credit card rates, giving a potential boost to congressional efforts to put limits on the industry. The president is going to be very focused in a very near term on a whole set of issues having to do with credit card abuses, White House economic advisor Lawrence Summers told Meet the Press this Sunday. He said abuses include charging consumers extraordinarily high rates that they wouldn't have paid if they knew what they were getting themselves into. This is very, very good news. It's been a long time that congressional reformers have been trying to crack down on credit card abuses. Financial Times, strong banks will be allowed to repay bailout funds they receive from the U.S. government, but only if such a move passes a test to determine whether it is in the national economic interest. So there's going to be some wrangling about whether banks, weak banks, should pay it back. Bailout money, and whether they should do that and potentially risk another collapse. It's going to be a lot of back and forth on that. Obama defends greeting Hugo Chavez, rebuffing criticism of the warm greetings that he exchanged with Venezuelan leader Hugo Chavez. President Obama said Sunday that the United States, with its overwhelming military superiority and need to improve its global image, could afford to extend such diplomatic courtesy. I was thrilled to see this. I was thrilled to see Obama trying to reach out to Latin America, and specifically now moving forward, trying to reach out to Cuba, trying to reach out to Venezuela. He gave a speech or a press conference basically saying that we can and we should be talking to our enemies and countries that we have problems with. And this really represents a very, very big shift from the Bush administration. Local news, a new piece of legislation would allow Colorado cities, schools, and other local governments to more easily and cheaply issue bonds to build and repair infrastructure. So this is coming through the state legislature to try to pump the stimulus, the federal stimulus money, into our local governments. The Pueblo Chieftain reports, an issue that bedeviled Democrats and Republicans in 2007 may soon be returning to the nation's capital. Senator Michael Bennett swung through Alamosa Sunday as part of his two-day tour through the San Luis Valley and told 25 people at a town hall meeting that immigration reform is still needed. So that's good. The question will be, what is quote-unquote reform? I am completely opposed to creating a quote-unquote guest worker program that creates a permanent underclass. If we're going to have immigration reform, quote-unquote, we need those coming into this country to have the same economic and political rights as domestic workers. Otherwise, you create a second class of citizens, and that's not what we want to do. Brandon Schaefer of Longmont, the state senator, was selected to replace Senator Peter Groff as the Senate president. When Groff leaves, Groff was named to a top position in the Obama administration and plans to leave in a couple weeks. So Senator Brandon Schaefer will be the new Senate president. In the 7 a.m. hour, we're going to be talking to State Senator Morgan Carroll about a very, very hot issue in the legislature, which is prison reform, criminal justice reform. And then in the 8 a.m. hour, we're going to be talking to Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer about, today is 420, which is a national day of protest to protest our drug laws. So the whole theme of the day is going to be criminal justice, crime, punishment. Sound like really dark issues, and they are dark issues. And in this first hour, we'll start off by remembering the Columbine tragedy and asking the question, why do we have so many of these shootings? And can we as a country mature past an oversimplified debate about gun control and video games. And I submit to you that many of these issues are related even to national issues. That when I just told you about the reaction that President Obama got to, for instance, being down in Latin America and extending a hand of diplomatic engagement to some of our enemies, these issues are all related. What we project as a country in terms of our belligerence to the rest of the world, in terms of militarism, we project inwardly as well into our society. And in my column on Friday, I talked about how to get a country like ours to continue being so militaristic and so belligerent in the world, it requires us to have a culture that continues to sell the need for militarism, sell the need for effectively institutionalized violence. And that's going to have some ramifications. So all of these issues, I think, are related to issues like the Columbine shooting, which seem so simple. It just seems like a couple kids went crazy. But are, I think, go much, much deeper, and they're much, much more complex. And so the open question of this first hour is whether you think we can mature past an oversimplified debate about gun control and video games and get to some of the more root causes that create not only Columbine-style violence, but an increase in domestic violence that we're seeing right now, according to the AP. What do you think? Do you think we can mature? 303-713-7600 is the number. We got some open phone lines. Again, 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I think we can mature, but I think, you know, some of the reaction to my column over the weekend has been, I got some email basically saying, oh, they were just a bunch of crazy kids and you want to blame the economy you want to blame Columbine on the economy, which, of course, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm not surprised by that reaction because there's so much propaganda out there trying to oversimplify this. So weigh in, 303-713-7600. First, let's go to Todd Parker with traffic.
Hey again, it's Mr. Money from the Lodge Casino. I gotta tell you, some of these new games we have here are awesome. Like this one, Star Trek. It's even better than the show because you'll win cash and lots of it. Well, back to work. Anyone feeling lucky?
Yeah, I feel lucky at the Lodge.
That's the spirit, Fred.
I like to come to the Lodge because I like to win.
Why, thank you, Lisa.
Lodge Casino.
Your first choice for fun.
Don't open just any door. Open the door to your dream home with the Century 21 Path to Your Dream Sweepstakes. One winner will get the chance to win $221,000 towards a new home. Go to century21.com/sweepstakes to enter.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older and legal U.S. resident to enter. Void in Kansas, Missouri, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Rhode Island. Details at century21.com/sweepstakes. Odds winning depend on number of entries. That's May 16th. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
Hey there, everybody. I'm Karen. Here's how I'm saving money and helping to save the planet. I get a great price on these Nature Source cleaning products at Walmart. They're plant-based, so they're good for my family and the planet. And if all 200 million of us Walmart shoppers each used one bottle of Nature Source instead of a petroleum-based cleaner, we'd save over 1.7 million gallons of petroleum. Now that's some real cleaning power. And hey, at these prices, we can all make a difference.
Budget-friendly prices, earth-friendly products. Save money, live better. Walmart.
The winner of American Idol.
You are a victim.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol, as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The Season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the Ain't Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
Please welcome.
We are live
with a world premiere
and action.
show bus.
The movie industry is all a Twitter about rumors of a big screen return for Tom and Jerry. If true, they would be following in the live-action footsteps of fellow Hanna-Barbera character Scooby-Doo. According to reports, the new Tom and Jerry movie will focus on how the two characters met and the reasons behind their subsequent rivalry.
Show bus.
Feet, America's number one arch support.
.625, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. If you're lying in bed, get up. I can tell you it's a beautiful morning here after a long period of gray and snow. It's really, really beautiful. This is a really, really gorgeous morning. 45 degrees going up to 65, 70s and 80s all week. So we are, I hope, in the clear, out of the winter. 303-713-7600, the open question of this first hour is whether you think we can mature past an oversimplified discussion of guns versus video games in light of the 10-year anniversary of the tragic Columbine shooting. Later on in the show, we're going to be talking to State Senator Morgan Carroll about a very, very hot issue in the legislature, prison and criminal justice reform. And then in the 8 a.m. hour, we're going to be talking to Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer about the efforts for drug policy reform. Can we become a more tolerant society? And is our intolerance, our tough-on-crime, militaristic culture, really at the core of so many of our problems, including this explosion or re-explosion of random Columbine-like violence? What do you think? 303-713-7600. Van and Boulder, what do you think?
Well, you know, I think it's a combination of two things, and or myriad things, but I'm going to touch on a couple of things that I think are really important. One, I really think that we've kind of sexualized and glorified what I would call final solution type violence. So, you know, whether it's the video games or the movies, you've got the hero, and in order to make things right, he's got to kill a whole bunch of people, okay? And we, you know, that theme or that story is told over and over and over, whether it's, you know, Rambo or, you know, a number of buddy movies like Rush Hour or whatever. You know, you got to kill a whole bunch of people to make things right. And, you know, I think what we see, especially with these high school kids, is they go through, you know, life, you know, watching these video, you know, playing these video games and, watching these movies. And then they feel like, you know, they need to have a solution to whatever is ailing them. And, you know, they've been taught, you know, myriad times that the best solution is a really complete and, you know, hyper-violent solution.
That's really true. I mean, that really is a theme in almost not every, but so many movies and television shows and so much of our fiction, which is this idea of a final solution involving vanquishing
all of them.
Killing, right, the enemy. And let's remember, that's really inherent in our foreign policy, too. That's what our government actually is saying in a macro sense. We're always talking about the final act of violence to end violence, right? The final act of violence to create peace. That's always the justification for whatever military engagement we're engaging in. If we just kill Saddam Hussein, if we just invade Iraq, if we just, you know, I mean, it's not just that was, you know, if we just invade Vietnam, if we
exactly.
just...
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And then I think that also ties in to what I think is that, you know, a really huge problem in our culture is that we have kind of sanitized all of the kind of, you know, minor violence, okay? And, you know, you can see it in our martial arts schools and what we teach kids about, like, you know, karate where they do point fighting and, you know, all of these sorts of things. What we've done in the state of – ask Morgan Carroll about it. We have a law in this state. It's called serious bodily injury, okay? And if I get in a fist fight with somebody and I break their nose, literally all I have to do is break their nose, you know, damage some cartilage in their nose, give them a permanently crooked nose, and they go to the hospital and the doctor, now all of the ERs now have this on a form. Morgan Carroll helped make this law, where if they've got, you know, they have to check serious bodily injury, and the definition of serious bodily injury is a broken nose. And it was meant for somebody that, you know, did a head stomp and fractured a guy's skull in 18 places. But the legislators wrote the law in a really vague way, so they checked the box. The DA comes in, they see the boxes checked on the ER form, they charge the guy who may have just gotten in a little fist fight with serious bodily injury. It's a mandatory 5-year sentence.
Wow.
Okay? And that's, I think what we've done is so we kind of praise this, you know, final solution, and then we punish, you know, fisticuffs in just this, you know, insane way. You know, if you go to Spain or any of these countries where they don't have a lot of gun violence, France, there's a lot of guns in France, okay? They don't have a lot of gun violence. If you get in fisticuffs outside of a bar, you're on notice for 6 months not to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you're going to do a year and a half for assault.
Well, you know, we have a strange situation whereby...
This is the final solution. We
right.
sanitize fisticuffs. I mean, you know, getting in a fight is not that big a deal, but, you know, hey, it's got to be a final solution. So if I win the fight, I get the guy down, then I stomp on his head for 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, it's a weird situation where I think we culturalize violence as something that we should accept, and we have these draconian sentencing and draconian criminal justice system that then punishes in a way that really, I think, creates recidivism. You know, I'll mention this in the next hour when we talk about criminal justice reform. But, you know, if I might be for all this tough on crime, draconian sentencing, if it was working, but we have so much recidivism that it's clearly, clearly not working. Hey, Van, thanks for the call.
We've gone from rehabilitation and peacekeeping to law enforcement and locking them up.
That's exactly right. Thanks for the call, man. 6:32, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. Can we mature past, as a nation, as a society, can we get past oversimplified and rather vapid debates about gun control and video games and ask the tougher questions on this, the 10-year anniversary of the Columbine tragedy? Can we ask the tougher questions about what this violence is really all about? Is it about an overly militarized culture, a culture that has created the idea that violence is acceptable? Is it about, in part, about a society under severe economic stress? Or is it just about gun control and violence? Excuse me, gun control and video games. Is that what this violence is all about and always was all about? And I'm just, you know, I'm searching for complex answers, and the answers are really just simple. What do you think? 303-713-7600. 45 degrees here in Denver, going up into the 60s. Let's go to Todd Parker with traffic.
Southbound 2 1/4, starting to get busy across Aurora right around Colfax. We're also seeing more cars near Yosemite and DTC as you're coming up on I-25, but no significant delays yet. Crews are cleaning up that accident, 56th and Dunkirk. Could kind of hang things up as you're trying to take those back roads out to DIA. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
At Freeway Ford, we sell cars and trucks for less every day. Right now, get a loaded 08 Ford Explorer for just $16,900. That's a loaded 08 Ford Explorer in your driveway for just $16,900. Freeway Ford, I-25 in Evans, Longmont Ford, 3rd and Alpine, or cheaperfords.com.
There's a lot of Americans out there who are worried about him.
Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
You are addicted.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
True local company. All Colorado-owned and operated. Call 303-BUNDLES, 303-BUNDLES, or online at 303bundles.com. That's 303bundles.com.
Attention, Colorado residents. This is an important consumer alert.
Hi, folks. I'm Michael Mack.
And I'm Chris Gotzmer.
We are the Credit Card Lawyers of Colorado. If you're in credit card debt, bankruptcy and hiring a debt settlement company are not your only options. In fact, did you know that credit card debt can be wiped out in as little as 60 days without bankruptcy? Call 800-877-5000 and learn how to qualify. Now more than ever, credit card companies will work with Colorado residents to actually forgive most of your debt without bankruptcy. And unlike bankruptcy and debt settlement scams, no upfront fees are required. You can get started on this program without paying a dime in fees. 800-877-5000. 800-877-5000. TheCreditCardLawyers.com. TheCreditCardLawyers.com.
During the Great Depression, people were frantic to get their hands on gold. With the markets collapsing, people losing their homes, and banks going under, no one wanted to be left out in the cold without reliable assets like gold coins. Today, gold is in limited supply, but the New York Mint is releasing a limited number of coins gleaming in 24-karat gold, the beautiful gold koala. Minted by the Australian government and offered at a remarkable $98 per coin when you call 1-800-700-8926. Limit 5 per caller. Gold coins are harder to find than ever, and only a handful of countries have the rich natural resources required to mine this precious metal. But one of those countries is Australia, and the New York Mint has reached an exclusive agreement to release a limited quantity of Australia's glittering gold koala coins at just $98 each, limit 5 per caller. This is a special radio offer, so don't miss this rare opportunity to get your hands on gold affordably. Call 1-800-700-8926, 1-800-700-8926.
If I could tell the world just one thing, it would be that we're all okay. And not to worry, cause worry is wasteful and useless in times.
6:37, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. April 20th is the 10-year anniversary of the tragic Columbine shooting, and we're in this first hour asking the question whether we can mature past an oversimplified discussion of gun control and video games to try to really get to some of the more complex issues that I think are involved in not only Columbine, but the recent Columbine-like shootings that we've seen across the country and the increase in domestic violence that we're seeing in light of the economic crisis. What complex issues do you think are at work? 303-713-7600. We got a couple lines open. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Alice in Longmont. Alice.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me. What I believe this what I believe about Columbine, I always will believe, is bullying in schools. When my children were growing up, I used to pass by these schools, and I'd see one whole gangs of kids just hopping on one person, beating up. This was girls beating up this girl. They didn't like the way she fixed her hair, the clothes that she wore, and these kids are taught, you know, to think in herds. Like, they're so immature physically, they think that everybody in school has to like them. And they don't realize that regardless in life, that not everybody's going to like you. And they need to be taught, you know, that they need just one good friend. Instead of, they so busy worried about what the other kids think of them. And it's pitiful. It really is. Some kids are just not socially adapted for some of this. And a lot of times they enter school with, and they don't realize that you don't have to be accepted by all your peers. And it's just pitiful when I know that a lot of kids that come here into Colorado schools have a lot of have different ideas about different things and have a hard time breaking in to the clique. And they have to be taught that they're there to learn.
Well, but then the question is, like, this has been bullying and cliquishness have been part of being a teenager for years and years and years. And so then the question is, well, if that's the case, then why has it only been more of a recent phenomenon, the sort of the violence in schools?
Well, look at it this way. We have a more of a population, too. You know, we have a heavier population. Each year we have more and more people. And this was going on when I was growing up. But it wasn't as broadcast as much on television. Or, you know, we just have more of a communication thing across the country. But I don't think video games or guns have a thing to do with it. It's what's built in that person, and it, like you take an animal. Like if you, I've seen people abuse animals, and you take and you badger that animal so long, badger a person so long, they are going to fight back. And it's terrible to say, but I think we've heard just a small part of it. It has to be something really big.
Well, and the thing is that whenever you bring up any of these issues, of course, you get, and I mentioned it before the break, some of the reaction to my column, which raised the question of militarism and shouldn't we expect violence at the fringes in a culture that sells violence in so many different ways. And whenever you bring any of this up, you know, there's always a reactionary reaction, which says, oh, you're trying to blame Columbine on the economy, or you're trying to blame Columbine on the military or on the Pentagon. But that's exactly what I'm not trying to do. What I'm trying to, because that's as oversimplified as saying, well, Columbine or Columbine-like shootings are due to gun control or due to Grand Theft Auto, the video game. That's ridiculous. And I think that if we as a society can't discuss, if we don't have the capacity to discuss these issues in a more nuanced way and understand that there are multiple factors that go into something like this.
Well, I think too, David, that we'd say these kids are not taught, some of them are not taught to respect fathers, respect for others and decency and courtesy. And a lot of times, respect for others, and they haven't been taught. It's not so much what other people think of them all the time, which is, you know, the immaturity they can't realize, but it's any of this. But it's the respect, we say respect for themselves that counts. And if they don't like the respect to not be involved in this thing,
right,
this type of thing, I think this would help.
Well, and it's also the issue of parenting, right? I mean, if you don't,
right.
if you have a society, and I made this point in my column as well, if you have a society that is asking parents to work two and three jobs, giving them less time to actually be parents, you're going to have more of a prevalence of alienation among kids, unrecognized and very, very deep alienation. That's just a fact. Thanks for the call, Alice. 644, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. In this first hour, we're talking about whether you think we can get past the oversimplified discussion of gun control and video games on this, the 10-year anniversary of the Columbine tragedy. Can we get to a deeper discussion, a more complex discussion, about all of the factors that are involved in this random spate of violence? What are these Columbine-like events actually saying to us about our society? 303-713-7600 is the number. A couple lines open. We'll go to DJ in Denver. DJ.
I actually just have kind of a quick point about all of this. You guys were talking, the previous caller was talking about bullies and stuff like that, and you made a point that it hasn't been but a pretty recent phenomenon, and also if you take into the phenomenon of antidepressants and their boom in our society, you kind of get a correlation between the two. I'm kind of a kid the guy's age who did that, so it's I've seen it seen it through a lot of my friends that it just kind of makes them crazy, and they justify things that they never would have justified had they not been on antidepressants. That's just my two cents. And those guys, if you look at all of the shootings that have happened recently, almost every single one of them have been on antidepressants.
But let me play devil's advocate for a second. The issue with that is that, well, typically, if you are on an antidepressant, something of a problem has been recognized in you. So that's less the issue of, like, you know, the kid or the person in question was negated. If you were medicated, it suggests there was at least a recognition that there were problems going on.
Absolutely, I agree with that. But there's a few things that they don't tell you when you start getting medicated. One, that there's a 2% chance that 2% of the population will have a psychotic reaction within the first 2 weeks of the initial start of your Zoloft, Prozac, any of those that are antidepressants that mess with those specific chemicals in your mind. And when you are, one, on them for prolonged amounts of time, they begin to build restraints against the normal chemicals in your mind that stop you from doing things that are just outright crazy. And it's not just violent stuff. If you look at normal people taking them for sustained amounts of time, that they were never designed to be taken over large amounts of time. They were designed to be taken for a small time to let you see what you missed when you were being depressed. And then you're supposed to get off of them. Well, people are on them for years now. It's becoming a rampant problem in America that is just, it's kind of, I mean, there is a certain percentage of people that, you know, get healed from them and get some kind of relief from them, and I understand that, but there's also a severe problem in the warning of all of this stuff, because a kid who is 17 years old changes all the chemicals in his mind in 3 days, all of a sudden starts feeling alienated and disgusting about his world. Because he's already feeling that anyway. He's feeling more and more alienated because he's all of a sudden, everything is changing in his mind, then can justify, you know, going into Columbine and doing something like that.
Well, look, I think it's definitely true. It's definitely true that we as a society have not really taken any kind of systemic look at what happens to a culture and a society in the age of the pharmaceutical. I mean, this is the pharmaceutical age. There's a pill for everything. You turn on your television, you don't have to watch TV for longer than 5 minutes to be hit with a pharmaceutical ad. And we are a very, very heavily pharmaceuticalized, if that's a word, culture and society now. And there are going to be long-term effects of that that we haven't really studied or really even tried to come to terms with. So I'm definitely with you on that overarching point. I mean, I don't know if you can make a direct one-to-one correlation with any of these shootings. I'm not sure, but I think you're absolutely on the right track in looking at something of in asking a systemic question, because it is a systemic question, and it's one that we don't really you don't really hear talked about all that much.
Yeah, it never gets talked about. Nobody ever wants to bring it up because it's almost like they're afraid to get off of their antidepressants.
Yeah.
It's scary to them. It's scary for somebody to have such a crutch emotionally. It's not physically at all. It's an emotional crutch that just scares the heck out of people.
Hey, man, thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you. Happy 420, my man. Have a good day.
Okay. 649, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. It's the 10-year anniversary of the Columbine tragedy. So we're going to be talking all about violence in our criminal justice system, asking the question whether there are deeper issues that go into violence and why our culture has become so violent. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that our culture is so coarse. We are not really as tolerant a culture as we like to think. And we're going to be talking about that in the context of criminal justice reform, in the context of drug policy and our harsh drug policies. And in this first hour, we're asking the question, do you think there are more complex questions that need to be asked after Columbine, 10 years now after Columbine, that go beyond gun control and video games? 303-713-7600. Let's go to Todd Parker with traffic.
Eastbound C-470 loading up Wadsworth to Santa Fe. We're also seeing more cars on the eastbound side at 270. Starting right around York, taking you towards Vasquez. Speeds are dropping. Southbound I-25, 120th to 84th as you're coming out of Thornton and Northland. And crews are also still working on that two-car accident, 56th and Dunkirk. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
You deserve a bank that understands what it takes to run a successful business in Colorado. Citywide Banks is a locally owned bank where the decisions affecting your business are made right here in Colorado. It's been that way since 1963. Call Citywide Banks today or visit citywidebanks.com.
Now, there's a lot of ways you can stay connected to us. You can listen to AM 760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
Live streaming courtesy of Pianos and Pianos.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, and AM760.net. Stay connected.
Dad, the toilet's angry again.
Is your math homework down there?
No, Dad, it always gurgles. Why don't you call Drain Salvage, the people that make you smile? They're having a $79 special to look into the sewer line.
Well, that's right. It was $279. Now it's just $79. Good call, sweetheart.
Don't let plumbing problems dampen your day. Drain Salvers has an incredible $79 special to check your pipes. Drain Salvers is a member of the Tom Martino Troubleshooter Network.
How can we make you smile? Call Drain Salvers, 303-423-1000.
You owe over $10,000 on your credit cards, medical bills, or to collection accounts. If you're over your head in monthly debt payments, I'm about to tell you something the credit card companies don't want you to hear. Something that could save you thousands of dollars. It's simply this. You can settle your credit card debt for a fraction of what you owe. And even better, you can find out how right now for free. We're Credit One Debt Solutions, and we'd like to offer you free information that can help you get debt-free faster than you ever imagined. See how you can reduce your debt, stop the harassment, and roll everything into one affordable monthly payment so you can get debt-free and stay debt-free. No more credit card payments. It's that simple. Get the powerful free information the credit card companies don't want you to hear. For your free information, call Credit One Debt Solutions now. 1-800-661-9336. That's 1-800-661-9336. 1-800-661-9336.
You know what's the hardest part of any home improvement project? Guessing how much it will cost. A lot of projects get stalled because of money questions. Tom Hartman here with a tool from AAA Home Improvements that you're going to love. It's called their online project calculator. Log on to the homepage at AAAHomeImprovements.com, then click on project calculator. Find the project you're considering and get an instant estimate of the cost. It's one more way AAA Home Improvements puts experience and quality on your side. Log on to AAAHomeImprovements.com. It's that easy to get started.
Your small business can save big with brilliant color outputs. With an HP OfficeJet Pro all-in-one and original HP inks, color printing costs up to 50% less per page than laser. For details, visit hp.com/go/color-for-less. The Lodge Casino is your first place for winning cash. You can win up to $10,000 on the Super Cash Wheel. Play every Wednesday and Friday from April 8th to May 15th. The Lodge Casino, your number one choice for spinning and winning cash.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. Jeff in Denver. Jeff.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
David, it's good to talk to you. I'm not quite sure how to present this, but for about a year now, I've been kind of stuck on the word or term narcissism. And I had a friend Google it to give me some information on it. I'm blind, so I don't have a computer. But it's really fascinating. There were some interesting articles about narcissism in society and how the government, if it's a narcissistic type government, can affect the country. And I think that if you get a chance to Google it or something, that you should do that, because there were a lot of things that sound kind of typical as to what's happening in our country right now.
Narcissism. Yeah. Narcissism by our government and thus in our society.
Right.
How do you think it relates specifically to the issue of violence?
There was something about a country that goes to war that doesn't really have a reason to. Like, I was kind of comparing it to Iraq, and nothing really substantial about why we were even there.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's definitely the issue of this American hubris, and we can do whatever we want, and we can kick anyone's ass. And in order to sell that, I think we and this goes back to the issue of militarism. I think militarism is so central to this, and it's so central to you need a culture that justifies violence to sell a culture on spending so much of our money on the military. And the selling of that violence is going to have secondary effects. Jeff, thanks for the call.
Sure.
William in Denver. William.
Oh, hello?
Hey.
Oh, hi there. Yeah, I was going to ask you if you had any idea whose birthday it is today.
Well, it's my brother's birthday.
Well, yeah, but
and I know my brother's birthday is the birthday of unfortunately Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, and I'm saying back when this massacre occurred at Columbine, I think that had something to do with influence those two teenagers that did the killings on this day.
I wouldn't be surprised at that. I mean, that's the specific event. That doesn't go to the deeper systemic problems.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to look at it. I mean, if they were connecting to that kind of hatred, then you got to look at where that is in this society too, because there's definitely those types of elements in America. So.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, that gets to the bigger point of hate in our country, and how it still festers in our society, how it's still something that still very much exists. You mix that hate culture with that violence, that culture of violence. And that's an explosive mix. Tim and Golden. Tim, what do you think?
Hi there. Listen, I've been teaching for Jeffco Schools for many years. I can tell you where I was when Columbine happened in my school. But one of the things that came out of this, a lot of research was done about how high school kids are alienated with these tremendously large campuses. You know, only so many kids can make the football team, the baseball team, play in the orchestra, get on the debate team, on and on and on. And I think part of that has to do with that age group, you know, where you're trying to find your identity and you're trying to work really hard to improve your skills. And yet you come across so many other people that are, you know, have more talent than you do, and you give up.
Well, let me go to the issue of this, which is we do live in a really, really hyper-competitive society, and that hyper-competitiveness can create problems at the fringes. Thanks for the call. All right, stick around. We're going to be talking to State Senator Morgan Carroll in the 7 a.m. hour.
Hey, back to business in a second, but I just read a statistic you won't believe. Get this. Over 50 million of us don't have adequate life insurance. Seriously. And most are between the ages of 30 and 55. So if you die, your spouse is left alone, trying to figure out how to make ends meet, borrowing money, draining their retirement, selling the family home. That happened to my mom, and it was tough. Look, if you have a family, you need life insurance. So right now, go get a free quote from eFinancial at 1-800-955-2533, because you will not believe how affordable life insurance is. Everyone's situation is different, but okay, I'll just tell you. I'm 40, in good health. They got me a $500,000 policy for $20 a month. $20 a month. You spend more than that on coffee, right? So seriously, take care of your family. Get your free life insurance quote now. Let me give you the number again. It's 1-800-955-2533. 1-800-955-2533. 1-800-955-2533.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Centipani. Another big bank is reporting a better-than-expected profit. In this case, it's Bank of America, and the profit for the first 3 months of the year came to more than $2.8 billion. The Wall Street Journal says most of the big banks that have received federal rescue money have been tight-fisted when it comes to making new loans. By its estimate, bank lending fell 23% in February. MoneyWatch.com editor-at-large Jill Schlesinger says the recession won't end until lending picks up.
We want to see a recovery. We are certainly seeing signs that things are getting better, but we are just not there yet, and we have to be patient with that.
The pink slips are in the email at General Motors. CBS's Jeff Gilbert has that.
GM President Troy Clark sending an email to workers saying that 1,600 of them will lose their jobs in the next few days as the company works to slim down. This is part of 3,400 salary job cuts GM announced in February. Last week, CEO Fritz Henderson said even more cuts are coming, but he couldn't give a number.
An all-night hostage siege at the airport near Montego Bay, Jamaica, ended about an hour ago. The gunman who'd been holding six crew members from a Canadian charter jet let them go and gave up. LaToya Johnson is with Radio Jamaica.
We're not sure what may have motivated him. We're told that he's the son of a Montego Bay businessman. We're told that he began developing a mental illness some 15 months ago after the separation of his parents.
The hijacker freed the plane's passenger shortly after he boarded the jet last night. The city of Littleton, Colorado, is marking the 10th anniversary of the massacre at Columbine High School. Dawn Ann and Bruce Beck will spend the day remembering their daughter, Lauren Townsend, one of 12 students and one teacher who died that day.
The missing of Lauren is an everyday thing.
We remember her every day. Every day.
Something is killing polo horses in Florida. Live to CBS's Vicki Barker. What do we know about this, Vicki?
The medical experts are baffled. 21 polo ponies have died of a mystery ailment in less than 24 hours. It all started in Wellington, Florida yesterday when two horses from a Venezuelan team collapsed and others began acting dizzy just before a match. Until tests come back, it's too soon to say what killed them and whether it's catching, Frank.
The New York Times says the CIA used waterboarding a lot more than previously reported. It says two key Al-Qaeda suspects were subjected to the simulated drowning technique more than 260 times.
It really makes you wonder what point was served by all of this.
Kenneth Roth of Human Rights Watch and other critics say waterboarding is nothing more than torture. Iowa State University researchers say video games can be every bit as addictive as gambling, drugs, or alcohol. Lead researcher Doug Gentile says it has the potential to disrupt the lives of children and teenagers.
To be addicted to something means much more than you do it a lot. It means you have to be damaging your ability to function in different areas of your life, damaging your social functioning, your family functioning.
Just ahead of the bell, S&P futures are down 16 points. This is CBS News.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. Latest example, 20% off select special order doors and windows, including Geldwin, Feather River, and Masonite, which can then lead to the four best words of all, "You got the job." More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
You know, there's a lot to think about when you're buying a new car. Take the Accord from Honda, for example. It has a higher resale value than any of its competitors. And because of its exceptional engineering, it can mean low maintenance costs. So what's the bottom line? The Accord costs less money over the long term. And that's music to anyone's ears.
Based on Edmunds.com's true cost to own for the first 5 years of ownership, 2009 Accord, winner BALG Residual Value Award, midsize car segment.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Columbine High School will be closed today as the state commemorates the 10th anniversary of the country's worst high school massacre. Family members of the victims as well as survivors will hold a vigil at Clement Park this afternoon. Survivor Sean Graves was shot 6 times. He says he plans to go back to Columbine to the exact stairwell where he and 2 friends were shot.
I'd like to get up to the school where not only I was shot, but where Dan and Lance were also shot. And I like to leave a cigar for Dan and have one there at the spot.
Governor Ritter has ordered flags flown at half staff today. Snow giving way to runoff and green grass, but it's still a thorn in the side for some. They've closed Foothills Elementary in Boulder for the day.
Power outage affecting the school and about 1,000 surrounding homes, according to XL Energy.
Power is expected to be restored to the last few thousand without it in Evergreen, Boulder, Sedalia, and some portions of Jefferson County today. Some mountain areas picked up more than 50 inches of snow, increasing reservoir levels statewide. And CU students gather today on campus to smoke marijuana. The annual 420 nationwide statement advocating the legalization of pot. CU Chancellor Phil DeStefano urged students in an email last week not to participate in the event. Sports: Nuggets all over the Hornets, 113-84 in game one of their series. Game two Wednesday night at Pepsi Center, and the Rockies get pounded by the Dodgers, 14-2. They'll begin a 3-game series in Arizona tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Crews have cleaned up that accident, 56th and Dunkirk, southbound I-25, busy downtown from about I-70 towards Spear. Speeds going to drop into the 20s and 30s through that stretch. We're also seeing more cars westbound 76, the 74th up to 270 in the high country. Few slick spots over those higher mountain passes. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
GM is reinventing the ownership experience. It's called the Total Confidence Plan. It's the most comprehensive consumer care program ever. They're standing by you and their vehicles like never before. Visit GMconfidence.com for details and limitations and to learn more about their reinvention.
Right now at the Home Depot, all seed packets are buy one, get one free. You can grow a bounty of fresh vegetables, saving you a bundle at the grocery store. Plus, the Home Depot has organic seeds that are part of our Eco Options program, so you can save green and live green. It all starts with seed packets, 2 for the price of 1. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Offer valid through April 25th in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
707, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 40 degrees in Denver going up to 65. Today is the 10th anniversary of the Columbine shooting. And we, in the first hour, started delving into some of the more complex issues that come into play on the issue of violence, why we're such a violent society, trying to get past the oversimplified debates about gun control and video games. And the overarching question of the day is whether our violent society, what relation does that violent society have to do with our overall posture towards tolerance? Are we a tolerant society? Is our criminal justice system working? Are our drug laws working? Or does our intolerance on issues like crime and punishment, does that have something to do with making us a more violent society? And in this hour, we're going to be talking about one of the major, major issues now moving through the state legislature, which is criminal justice reform, and in particular sentencing reform. And we've asked State Senator Morgan Carroll to come on and talk with us about this issue. You might have been reading about it in the newspaper. The Denver Post editorial on Sunday was all about this issue. The Grand Junction Sentinel ran an editorial about this. It's a pretty heated debate, and so we asked State Senator Carroll to come on and tell us what the bill is and why she's for it and what kind of opposition it has. So, Morgan, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Good morning, David. Thanks for having us on.
Sure.
You know, there's a couple pieces that have been going on, twofold. One is, what does the data around the country show that works and doesn't work in corrections, and how close is Colorado to following kind of evidence-based practices and not? And the short answer is it's not. When we have heard all the stuff in the budget over the last couple weeks about the possible closure of higher ed and furloughs and closing public health clinics, this does remain the one place where we haven't significantly reconsidered. And just to give people some backdrop on the bill, Colorado's incarcerating. We've got 1 in 29 of our citizens right now under some kind of correctional control, which is proportionately just devastating. So when we look in this to what the bill does, one of the things that the evidence shows us around the country is that there are a lot of alternatives for how you can create consequences and, frankly, even punish nonviolent offenses without necessarily resorting to a warehousing model that costs us less money, is actually more effective on reintegrating people back into society. So there's a package of bills. One of them is looking about limiting our bed space allocation to the beds we have available. The other bill is a whole combination of things. People should know about 74% of our current prison population is in there on nonviolent offenses. And
now, I'm just going to lay play devil's advocate, because I support this effort to this criminal justice reform effort. But John Southers, the Attorney General of Colorado, has said, you know, that those numbers are deceptive, that that it's actually that many nonviolent offenders are repeat offenders on crime that may not be violent but is particularly bad, and that really there's only, quote unquote, only about 25% of people who are in there for what he was saying, you know, genuinely nonviolent or non-serious crimes. That's what I'm paraphrasing here. So what's the response to that?
Well, the response is that the figures come from the Department of Corrections themselves.
Right.
We are seeing the overwhelming majority, and I serve on the Judiciary Committee, so we get the annual briefings on the data and the statistics, and the overwhelming majority of who we're incarcerating are for people with drug addictions, alcohol, and mental health problems. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have some social response and that there isn't some antisocial behavior that needs a remedy. However, between providing substance abuse treatment, mental health services, probation where it's appropriate, ankle bracelets where it's appropriate, and prison is appropriate for some people. What the bill does is in 1986, the Republicans had doubled arbitrarily every sentence in the state of Colorado, and we've never revisited that. And now what we're looking at...
And that was, just historical context, that was in the heat of the, what I like to call the sort of Willie Hortonization of crime policy. That is, that 86 and the late 80s was the heat of this tough on crime, let's make our criminal justice system, the real problem in our criminal justice system was, and this was what conservatives were saying, was that it was too easy on people, and a lot of criminal justice laws across the country became much more draconian at that moment.
That's exactly right. That is the timing on when this came forward. And what's happened as our population has increased is the actual services in corrections have gone down. So, for example, the very things we think that we're correcting people for in corrections, things like the drug and alcohol programs, the anger management programs, the sex offender programs, people are in a long, 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 long queue not getting those services because we've so swelled the volume without doing a good job of differentiating who really belongs in prison and who doesn't, that almost nobody is getting the kind of services that a functional correction is really intended to do, because most of these people are going to come back in society, whether we want to realize it or not, and it is in our public safety best interest to make sure they get the anger management classes, that they get the rehab classes, that people are triaged well. And frankly, to be blunt, the state can't afford, in a culture of $1.4 billion, to not triage. You know, when we're spending twice as much on corrections as we are on higher ed, when you have a balanced budget state, every dollar we're putting in corrections is a dollar that's not in early childhood, that's not in health care, that's not for the senior homestead exemption. So there's two good studies people might want to look at. One is the Pew study. Another is called What Works. And for about a fourth or a fifth as much money, particularly in the drug-addicted population, we frankly have more cost-effective and higher results-yielding alternatives that other states have already, in fact, gone down and tried and had data demonstrating a good effect.
We're talking to State Senator Morgan Carroll. She's updating us on the status of legislation in the legislature that would, it's a major, major, criminal justice reform package. And it's generated a lot of opposition among local district attorneys. The Colorado Attorney General has opposed this. Tell us what they're opposing it on the grounds of and why they're wrong. Are they just in that quote-unquote tough-on-crime mindset, or are some of their criticisms valid? Now, before I let you answer, I'll just say that the Denver Post's op-ed or editorial on Sunday was one of the more ridiculous editorials I've ever read. It said this is a good effort and that it's important to look at criminal justice reform, but we shouldn't do it because the legislature doesn't have time to do it. It was so ridiculous. But the more substantive criticism has come from local DAs. So tell us about that criticism and why you may think that it's wrong.
Well, I think there's a couple of parts about their criticism. Is essentially that they don't want to redo, frankly, any of the sentences substantively. This, in fact, enhances the power of district attorneys in charging. And the plea culture of what's around now is if you basically have, bluntly, at times some inflated charges and inflated sentences, you basically might be able to get people to plea down to the maximum of what would have been the better charge. One of the pieces of the bill they don't like, besides reallocating the lower level offenses, is that it changes and puts some more discretion back in the hands of judges. We've been a very DA-centric system, and as you and other listeners may know, over the last 20 years, we've really pulled back most discretion from our judges. And so right now, for example, to get a deferred sentence, only the DA can decide that. This bill includes, among other things, allowing judges to decide, you know, if this is a first-time offender and a young person who may have done something stupid, but basically, if given an incentive, might kind of get themselves back on the right path.
Well, that's a great reform because to my mind, one of the big problems in our criminal justice system is that we give DAs and not judges so much of the power. And if a court case is supposed to be the prosecution is equal to the defense, and then the judge basically judges, when you give the DA or the prosecution so much power, they can use that to leverage sometimes pleas that a defendant might not want to plea to. It just kind of rigs the system. It tilts the system a little bit. And so putting more of the power in the hands of the objective arbiter seems to me to be pretty common sense.
It is, and this is something other states have done. It allows you to make sure the punishment fits the crime and the offender. There's actually all these corollary industries, by the way, that are propping up the prison industry, where the kind of no big contracts that are out with who does the vending and who does the phones. And there's really all these industries that are propping up around prisons that are frankly very, very profitable. But the question we've stopped asking is it working? What's very damning to us is that the study on what works, we are now spending on prison levels and not getting any higher public safety return out of this. And that, to me, is just insane. I mean, maybe the details of this bill could be changed into something else. It's a pretty comprehensive package. But to say not reform, not now, when, look, the state is looking at shutting down. We can't afford not to look at this, particularly when we know we have a substantial nonviolent population. With that 1 in 29 figure, a lot of those folks have kids. A lot of those folks have spouses and parents. I mean, we are disrupting our social fabric, and some people deserve it, and it's appropriate. But we may be doing more disruption at more cost with no added public safety benefit. One of the key parts of the bill that is going to be controversial for the DAs and others is it takes drug possession from a felony to a misdemeanor, but differentiates sales as a felony. And by half the felonies in the state being drug possession crimes, that has an enormous impact on the system, on the courts, on the public defenders. And the thing next to that that people should know is there's probation reform in here. We do not differentiate between technical violations, like you're 15 minutes late, and substantive new crimes. Either one is a probation violation that can land you from probation into correction. So one of the things the bill does is it has intermediate sanctions available for for the technical non-new crimes. So we don't just have this backdoor into prison for things like not having enough money to take your UA test or something like that.
Well, this bill is really hugely important, and it's, you know, I know that it's a big, in many ways, a big political risk to be out there on it, as a lot of the legislature's Democrats are out there on this bill. I mean, you know, you can just see the potential demagoguery around this bill, but you're right. It's, if we don't start asking the question, are these criminal justice policies working, then we're going to not only bust the budget, we're going to continue creating a society that's plagued by recidivist crime, that's plagued by just a crazy policy. And I want to be clear, your point about how much money is in this, right? The Corrections Corporation of America, the prison industrial complex, is right. Extremely, extremely powerful, and they have an extremely vested interest in making sure the status quo, or even worse than the status quo, stays put and there is no reform. State Senator Morgan Carroll, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. Good luck with the bill.
Thank you very much, David. Good talking with you.
Good talking to you. That was State Senator Morgan Carroll, and this is the open question now of the hour. Do you want to see major criminal justice reform in this state? Are you willing and do you support an effort to reduce penalties in this state, sentencing penalties, prison terms for nonviolent offenders? Or do you worry about that? Do you worry that that's going to unleash a wave of crime? There's obviously budget pressures, but this is a heated issue. Are you afraid that budget pressures are pushing the legislature to potentially loosen criminal justice laws in a way that could have negative consequences on society? 303-713-7600 is the number. We got open phones. Again, 303-713-7600. We're going to take a break and then get right back to the phones. Let's go to Todd Parker with traffic.
Who's cleaned up that accident? 50.
The Douglas County Democratic Party invites you to join them at their 5th annual Clinton-Carter Dinner on Saturday, April 25th. This dinner has it all. Great speakers like Governor Bill Ritter, the National Director of Progress Now, Michael Huttner, and Andrew Romanoff as the MC, plus live entertainment and a silent auction. Be part of the new energy that's turning Douglas County blue. Tickets can be purchased at douglasdemocrats.org or call 303-907-8961.
One of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized the contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code ONLINE to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset, too. Remember that code, ONLINE. To qualify for the free VoIP headset, WebEx, now part of Cisco, used by over 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code ONLINE. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
I mean, they've got it all. And these are the kind of things I hear about Rockies all the time.
I did go up to Rockies. It was the best experience I ever had of buying a car. I bought a lot of cars in my life. Just the whole experience, I can tell you, was awesome.
I want to put a plug in for Rockies. We bought that car. We bought it cheap, and it was worth a whole lot more. My next vehicle is going to be from them again, I guarantee you.
That's Rockies Autos, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Get out there and see them in person. Rockies Autos, located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
You know, there's never a good time for a major plumbing problem. You always want it to work. Hi, this is Ken Moon for Drain Solvers. They respond to emergencies 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Plumbing disasters don't take vacations, and neither does Drain Solvers. Take advantage of their fantastic sewer line TV camera analysis, normally $279, now just $79. Call the folks who have the solutions. Call Drain Solvers. 303-423-1000.
How can we make you smile? Call Drain Solvers. 303-423-1000.
Pay off your consumer debts in months. Pay off your mortgage in a fraction of normal time. Register for a free seminar at markonthemoney.com. That's markonthemoney.com. Listen each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Your small business can save big with brilliant color outputs. With an HP OfficeJet Pro all-in-one and original HP inks, color printing costs up to 50% less per page than laser. For details, visit hp.com/go/color for less.
Coming up Monday on the Tom Hartman Program, we'll remember the somber anniversaries of Waco, Oklahoma City, and Columbine and talk about how tragedies like this happened in America. Plus, I'll mix it up with Carrie Lucas, the Independent Women's Forum, on the issues of the day. Also, Phil Radford, the new executive director of Greenpeace, will be here to talk about the EPA's regulation of global warming pollution. Is it enough? And what about the economic impact?
It's the Tom Hartman Program, 1 to 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin. Just trying to choke down my bagel here. I was at Zadie's. Treated myself to Zadie's yesterday for breakfast. It's one of my favorite things in life. Really, it's the simple pleasures. Bagels, whitefish salad. And then I'm all set. I'm hooked up for the rest of the week. Buy enough whitefish salad to be hooked up for bagels the rest of the week. It's great. The little things, folks. The little things. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. The open question we just heard from State Senator Morgan Carroll about a major effort in the legislature to reform our criminal justice policies here, specifically to reduce sentences for nonviolent offenders. We heard from State Senator Carroll the numbers about how many people in prison in our state are there because of nonviolent drug offenses and how that is potentially bankrupting the state, how much money our prison system is now taking up. And we're talking about this also in the context of the 10-year anniversary of the Columbine shooting. In the sense of, I asked the question in the first hour, this spate of violence that we continue to see in our country, the Columbine-like violence, and let me just say, general violent crimes are certainly down, but we still see these random shootings. And we've asked the question in the first hour, you know, we were discussing, can we get past the oversimplified debate about gun control versus video games? And the way I think criminal justice issues affects this, goes into this question, is criminal justice policies reflect our attitude on tolerance. How tolerant are we as a society, and is our intolerant, do our intolerant impulses, tough on crime, you know, lock the door and throw away the key, does that add to a culture that creates a lot of angst, a lot of stress, and potentially at sometimes a lot of violence? What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. Let's go to Paul in Littleton. Paul.
Yeah. Hello. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah. Well, a couple things I wanted to say. First of all, you should mention that those judges in Pennsylvania that got convicted for taking bribes to put juveniles in a private prison that they were buddies with the owners of. This was a privatization of a prison, and they bribed judges to send children who had done things like make web pages that made fun of their high school principal. So the privatization of prisons, I think, contributes to the over-incarceration of our population.
That's absolutely true. That's it's undebatable. I mean, the Corrections Corporation of America, as just one example, they're the big, one of the big private prison companies. They put an enormous amount of money into lobbying for draconian criminal justice laws because criminal justice has now become a big private business. And so it's hard to get rational, empirical policies about what works and what doesn't work when there's a huge interest, a huge corporate interest that doesn't really care what works and what doesn't work, just knows that the more draconian the policies, whether they work or not, the more money in their pocket. And here's the other part of this, right, is that in many issues, on many issues, there can be different interests on each side, different organized big money interests, right? Unlike the healthcare issue, right? You got the drug companies, for instance, that have an interest in keeping drug prices high, but then you've got employers that want drug prices to be lower.
Yeah, this is one side.
But this is one issue where there's just one organized corporate side, the private prison industry, and while there's, you know, there's grassroots support for criminal justice reform, there is no organized big money corporate interest, at least not yet, that's pushing for, lobbying for a more tolerant policy.
Yeah, the incentives are wrong with the privatization of prisons and law enforcement. Another thing I thought you might think about is, what did Margaret Mead say? Something like, what every culture has to do is find something for its young men to do. And that ties into, do we have an economy that provides gainful employment to our young men? And I don't think we do.
Look, that's absolutely true. I encourage everybody to go to www.openleft.com. I did a blog post up there about the interview on PBS's Bill Moyers, where Moyers interviewed David Simon, the creator, the HBO creator of The Wire, former journalist. And the interview talks about how we have created an underclass in our cities because we do not have a full employment economy, and it's almost a permanent underclass. And the way we deal with that underclass is, rather than trying to fix our economy, we basically relegate this underclass to urban ghettos and to our prisons. And when you have a situation like that, I think you're going to get violence at the fringes. Paul, thanks for the call. George in Arvada. George, what do you think?
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, yeah, I mean, we definitely have got to start reducing sentences and stop spending all of this money on this prison industry, which doesn't do anything but breed facilities or organizations like the Corrections Corporation of America with regard or not regard to the things that they've done, the atrocities that they've committed to keep this system going. Society really needs to take a good, solid look at this and start really doing an effective job at rehabilitation even. But yet having a skimmed-down system that is very effective and does what it needs to do. And, you know, stop putting people in jail for silly reasons and stop being so, I mean, should I say cruel? That society to some extent has been so cruel, and we've had a very prejudicial understanding of what criminality is all about. We've got to get a very active perspective on this, and we've got to do a very effective job on it. And you know, there's a lot of ills in society that need attention, and this all plays a part.
Well, let me throw this at you. I mean, real quick, let me throw this at you. I'm reading from the Grand Junction Sentinel's editorial against this bill. The bill reduces the number of years in prison an inmate can receive for the lowest four classes of felonies. It eliminates extraordinary risk sentencing for all felonies. Sentences for people who escape from prison or from a criminal corrections facility would be reduced. There could be no prison sentence for a probation violation unless a new crime was committed, no matter how poorly someone was doing meeting his or her probation requirements. Habitual criminal charges could only be filed for crimes of violence. Those who commit multiple robberies, burglaries, et cetera, could not be charged as habitual criminals. This is the claim of the Grand Junction Sentinel. So without going into the veracity of them, I wonder, is there any part of you that's worried? Now, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but is there any part of you that's worried about this?
Well, the criminal justice system can be a very much of a revolving door, and it is easy to get yourself locked into the system and hard to get yourself out of it. And so any attention to reducing some of that is a good thing, but society still needs to realize that a lot of these people are still going to need to do some solid work. And so a lot of community intervention would be very relevant at the community level, not at the prison level. And so I think that's good that that stuff is being lightened. So that people won't be so herded into prison so quickly.
I'm with you. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm playing devil's advocate, but I'm totally with you, which is the idea that we are erring on the side of too draconian, and it has negative social consequences. George, thanks for the call. Great call. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. 42 degrees in Denver, going up into the 60s. 70s and 80s predicted later this week, and I am thrilled about that. I am ready for spring and summer. Let's go to Todd Parker with traffic.
Southbound I-25 loading up downtown. We're also seeing more cars on the eastbound side of 36. This is basically federal to I-25. We've got a crash Highway 6 near Colfax, and the newest one being reported at Parker and Quincy. Now, that's a pretty busy intersection, so watch for some activity there. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a sunny day with a high near 69, almost 70 degrees. Overnight low dropping down to 40. Currently, we're already at 44 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Now you can save even more when you shop at King Soopers. They've just lowered prices on dozens of the fruits and vegetables you buy most. You'll save more on potatoes, bagged salads, carrots, oranges, and dozens more. Get more value for the way you live at King Soopers.
60 Minutes for CBS World News.
Spring is here, and now is the perfect time to buy new trees for your yard. Creekside Tree Nursery is fully stocked with fruit trees, and during their fruit tree sale, prices start at only $66 per tree. Spend $500 or more and get free delivery in most areas of Boulder County. Save money, increase the value of your home, and make your yard a living investment. Call 303-668-7647 or visit creeksideboulder.com.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry is proud to present the Peerless Diamond.
That's Jared!
Many experts say the most beautiful diamond is the ideal cut diamond. Exclusively at Jared, the Peerless Diamond, the ideal cut diamond, is tested and certified by two independent laboratories. One measures the diamond's four C's, while the other its radiance and fire. This second report measures what your eyes will have already told you, that the Peerless is one beautiful diamond.
It can only be Jared!
Men, did you know your prostate can affect your quality of life? It can affect your urine flow and stream. And let's be honest, it might even affect intimacy. Don't ignore the importance of your prostate. See your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that works with your body to support prostate health and normal urine flow. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate targeted nutrition. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-491-8149. That's 1-800-491-8149. Don't put off this important phone call. With Beta Prostate, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Call 1-800-491-8149. That's 1-800-491-8149.
Now, shouldn't I be thinking about the long term?
Hmm.
Take the Honda Civic, for instance.
Uh-huh.
Did you know it has a low cost of ownership?
Well, no. How does it do that?
Because the Civic has low maintenance and repair costs.
Really?
Yes, and it's also the longest-lasting car in its class.
Nice.
So when you do the math, it means a Honda Civic is the real deal.
So where does the adult supervision thing come into play? This sounds like a no-brainer to me.
Exactly, but I can't decide which color.
I see.
Rally Red, Atomic, Blue
okay,
Pearl.
Okay, what's your current girlfriend's favorite color?
Oh, man, you're good.
Yep, it's why I went to college.
Thanks.
Go to Edmunds.com and see for yourself the true cost to own a Honda Civic. Longevity based on Arl Polk & Company's U.S. Vehicles and Operation Registration Statistics 1988 to 2007 for Civic and competing models based on Edmunds.com's true cost to own for the first 5 years of ownership.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
Is it too early to wear white?
No way. Painter's Whites are always in style. So put on your overalls and come in for our spring savings event. Get 30% off Duration and Duration Home, plus other great savings throughout the store. Just come in by April 26th, or you'll be unfashionably late. Got a question? There's nothing you can't ask Sherwin-Williams. Visit SherwinWilliams.com for store locations. Retail sales only. Some exclusions may apply. See store for details.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, 41 degrees in Denver, going up to 65, sunny week in the mid-70s, all the way up to 80, potentially, on Thursday. Looks like spring and potentially summer is soon going to be upon us after that snow battering this weekend. Back to the phones, talking about the potential effort, the potential successful effort to reform our criminal justice laws in Colorado. There's a lot of noise about this in the media right now. A bill moving through the Colorado legislature that would reduce sentencing for nonviolent drug offenders, would empower judges more to reduce sentences, take away some power for DAs. The Attorney General does not like this bill. Some of the editorial boards have been going off on this bill. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Are you worried that if we decriminalize certain things or reduce sentences for nonviolent drug offenses, that's going to have negative societal problems? This is the 10-year anniversary of Columbine. And I'm trying to put this question in the context of that, in the sense of alienation and violence. Is this a product of a society that's very intolerant? And is that intolerance expressed through our criminal justice system? So many crimes happen from recidivism, not Columbine. But a lot of crimes are recidivist crimes, suggesting that we're not even really rehabilitating people when we put them in jail. So it's not like the criminal justice system is working right now. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Sandy on the cell, what do you think?
Well, my concern is, what's in this bill that's going to do anything to help with drug treatment if such a large number of folks who are incarcerated now have drug issues? It doesn't make sense to me to just close down prison beds or keep less people in jail if we're not going to do something to help these folks not continue to have problems and become more productive members of society.
That's absolutely true. And I plead a little bit of ignorance on this. I don't know what it does. My guess is, and I'll double check this in the break, my guess is there's like a bell going off in my head from the reading I've done about this bill. My guess is that some of the money that would be saved would be put into more treatment. But the question is then, is it enough? And but you're making a really good point here, that it can't just be a more tolerant, if you will, prosecution policy. It's got to come with a better effort to rehabilitate people, because that's really what's not working here, right? It's not like throwing people in jail and throwing away the key, locking them up and throwing away the key was working, then we'd probably want to keep doing that. But it's not working.
Because it's not treatment.
But because it's not treatment, right. That's right.
Most these people are addicts or related to the drug trade. If we're not doing anything about that in terms of treatment, in terms of getting the consumers, if you want to say it that way, treatment, then none of this is going to work.
That's right. Although, let me put an asterisk on that and say, look, we're going to be talking to Mason Tavert of Colorado Safer in the next hour. I think that certainly for a lot of the hard drugs, that treatment is really, really important. I think when it comes to the issue of marijuana, I think it's an even deeper question. Do we want to criminalize that? And how much of marijuana use is really a societal problem?
But I don't think those are a majority of people who are in the criminal justice system.
Well, it's certainly not a majority, but it may not be a majority, but if it's 10%, that's a lot of people. And that's a lot of money. But to your bigger point, you're right. Criminal justice reform without investment in rehabilitating people, whether it's and Morgan Carroll, State Senator Morgan Carroll said, you know, the rehabilitating people is not just drug treatment, it's anger management, it's all that, it's all the things that people need to be rehabilitated from. If you're not going to invest in that, then you may be creating certainly other problems. Sandy, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Dan in Boulder, what do you think?
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Okay.
I just wanted to chime in about the Colorado Criminal Defense Bar. You were mentioning how prison corporation, the private prison.
Right, Corrections Corporation of America.
Corrections Corporation. They certainly funnel in a lot of cash to make harsh sentences, and the Colorado Criminal Defense Bar tries its best to counter it. It's certainly much more poorly funded because it's just membership-based. But if people want to donate to the Colorado Criminal Defense Bar and fight against these harsh sentences, which really serve society no purpose, look into it, find their webpage, and throw them some cash. Every little bit helps.
That's a good point. And I saw John Suthers, the Attorney General of Colorado. He was saying this is a public defender's dream bill. As if that's a bad thing, right? I mean, it was kind of sad that he, Suthers, in railing on this bill, had thrown that out there as if that was like a bad thing, as if public defenders are these big, evil, powerful, unduly powerful interest group. Public defenders that's one of the toughest jobs out there. And I know Suthers' point, his deeper point was, well, you know, he was going back to the old tough-on-crime mantra. But, you know, I think that if we're going to get into the realm of berating public defenders as some sort of terrible, quote-unquote, interest group, it shows you that the hysteria from those who oppose this bill has really gone into, well, you, what I said, hysteria. Thanks for the call, Dan.
Thank you.
All right, we'll do one more call before I got to get to a break. Ray and Aurora, real quick, go for it.
Okay, I'll tell you one thing right now. I think we should hold the line on the situation because it only makes it worse. Go after the dealers and the pushers, 10 years prison. And that would do it. And also, Columbine, where are the parents?
So you're saying you oppose the criminal justice reform effort?
Yes, I do.
And specifically, why?
Go after the dealers and the sellers.
Well, but isn't that the
people on drugs? Don't you think?
But I'm saying, isn't that the issue? Isn't the issue that we're spending too much time and law enforcement resources locking up people who are
cut off the supply, the pushers and the sellers? That's it. And where are the parents?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that right now we're locking up, we're spending resources on arresting people who possess the drug.
Drop that and go after the push.
Well, that, I mean, okay, well, that's part of what the criminal justice reform proposal is trying to do. That's exactly what it's aimed at trying to do. Thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. 748 in Denver. 42 degrees going up into the 60s today, and a week of 70s and potentially 80s. Let's go to Todd Parker with traffic.
Watch out for a couple surface street crashes that could get in your way. Two cars mixed it up, Parker and Quincy. We've also got a crash in the Golden Area, Highway 6 near Colfax. Now, as far as the highway drive goes, no crashes there, but the sun is really blasting people in the eyes, especially on the eastbound side of 270 across Commerce City. Westbounders on 270, you're feeling it right around York. I-70 getting busy as you're making your way just off of I-25 up towards Colorado. 225, very slow after that Parker curve up towards I-25. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
New casino players eat for free at Fortune Valley Hotel and Casino in Central City. Enjoy an all-you-can-eat buffet or delicious deli meal free as a new casino player. Hungry yet? Take I-70 to exit 243, Hidden Valley to Fortune Valley. Some restrictions apply.
This is Tom Harbin. Join me in AM.
Hey there, everybody. I'm Karen. Here's how I'm saving money and helping to save the planet. I get a great price on these Nature Source cleaning products at Walmart. They're plant-based, so they're good for my family and the planet. And if all 200 million of us Walmart shoppers each used one bottle of Nature Source instead of a petroleum-based cleaner, we'd save over 1.7 million gallons of petroleum. Now that's some real cleaning power. And hey, at these prices, we can all make a difference.
Budget-friendly prices, earth-friendly products. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Missing teeth? Get a permanent solution. Dr. Lori Kemet and her associates at Incredible Smiles have new scanning technology to accurately place implants in the densest part of the bone without the need for exploratory incisions. Eliminate loose partials or painful dentures. Replace missing teeth without bridges. Get incredible implants at Incredible Smiles. Call now for a complimentary consultation. 303-77-SMILE or visit IncredibleSmiles.com.
7:50, now's the time we go to Mike Spear, the Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage. You can reach him at 303-749-2770. Again, it's 303-749-2770. And now's the time we ask him to give us an update on the market, tell us what's going on, what we should be psyched about, what we should be nervous about. Mike, what do you got for us today?
Well, I'll tell you, we've got some good news this morning, but the market is acting just like a spoiled child today. After seeing 6 weeks of a run-up, though, I guess it shouldn't be surprising, huh? The Dow is down 177 right now. The NASDAQ is down 40.5 points. That's a pretty big percentage drop on the NASDAQ. That's almost 2.5%. The S&P is down 21, and the Russell's down 15, which is about 3% on the Russell. So Bank of America reported better than expected earnings. Eli Lilly, better than expected earnings. PepsiCo, better than expected earnings. After the market today, IBM and Texas Instruments will report their earnings, so we'll keep our eye on those things. But the market's not acting well. And if you would like to see the areas of the market, we have a chart here that I think you'll find interesting that tells us what areas of the market are doing better than any others. And so if you'd like a copy of this chart, it's just a one page, really pretty interesting. It's a free copy. If you'd like to have it, give us a holler and we'll send it out to you.
Mike Spear with Presidential Brokerage. The number is 303-749-2770. Again, 303-749-2770. Mike, talk to you tomorrow.
All right, thanks a lot.
Hi, this is Ed McCaffrey, and I'd like to request a little more consideration from all you fans of Goodfeet Arch Supports. Don't get me wrong, I love it when you come up to me in the mall and want to chat about how Goodfeet relieve the pain in your feet, heels, knees, and back. My only complaint is that some of you ask me to take off my shoes to prove I'm actually wearing them myself. Now, maybe in this day of phony promises and exaggerated product claims, you've become just a little cynical. So let me clear things up. Yes, I wear my Goodfeet Arch Supports in my shoes every day. I wear them in all my shoes, whether I'm playing golf or getting ready for a night out. Why? Because they take away the pain I used to feel. And yes, I'm wearing them as I speak to you right now. Believe me, I wouldn't say nice things about Goodfeet Arch Supports if they weren't true.
Donate your new or used shoes at any Goodfeet store and get 10% off your arch support purchase. Proceeds go to Goodwill's School to Work program, helping 26,000 at-risk Colorado students. Call 1-877-620-FEET for the store nearest you. Goodfeet, America's number one arch support.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman from KKZN. If you're ready to consolidate debt or remodel your home, you should talk to TCF Bank. Yes, we've all heard that home equity loans are hard to get these days, but TCF Bank has lots of money to lend. I can tell you that the hardworking lenders at TCF Bank want to make loans. Find out what TCF Bank can do for you. Visit TCF Bank, apply online at tcfbank.com, or talk to a lender today. Call 1-800-TCF-LEND. TCF National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
How do you say Corvette in Colorado? PureFoyChevrolet.com, of course. Well, now you can say and think DenverCorvette.com and CorvetteDenver.com. Any way you think it, any way you say it, PureFoyChevrolet.com is Corvette in Colorado.
A right given by God. 754, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Jay, if you're listening, we're all pulling for you. Well, it's been a rough couple weeks for you. 303-713-7600 is the number. Mike in Denver. Mike.
Morning, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, I listen to your program every morning, and I really enjoy it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean, you're instrumental to the public that we're able to debate certain issues. Anyway, I just wanted to comment about the criminal justice system. Okay, number one is, I think most of the time, it's, to me, I feel like, this is individual feeling, that it's a, it's an organized crime. For instance, they put people in jail for a very minor thing. In this area, and they make that record a permanent record, and then when you decide to change your life around, looking for a job or something, they go through the record. You are treated as a criminal. That's number one. Number two is, it's also about the police system. When policing, let's say they are called to a home, I mean, not all the police officers, but most police officers, or maybe they are good ones, but they enter the home as if they are gods. I mean, they actually enter there with power, as if they are there, whether they are there to actually criminalize somebody who is not a criminal. Okay. They don't go to people's homes to actually fix problems. They go there to create more problems, and they take people to jail.
Well, I mean, I think part of the issue, and I agree with some of what you're saying. I think a lot of the issue is that the laws that are being asked to be enforced don't provide enough discretion in enforcement. I mean, we went through this issue of mandatory sentencing. Right, mandatory sentencing doesn't allow judges to change the sentence around to fit the crime. It's this one size fit all justice system that you're right. I think from top down in the law enforcement apparatus creates a really draconian system that's not flexible to society. Thanks for the call, Mike. Let's do one more call before the top of the hour. And if you're hanging on through the top of the hour, hang on, because we'll get to your calls. Let's go to Denise in Wheat Ridge. Denise.
Hello, David. I just want to say thanks for the wonderful job you're doing filling in for Jay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I really support the bill going through the legislature right now. I personally nullify juries when it has to do with any kind of nonviolent drug crime. I don't believe that these should be laws to begin with, and I will not support them in our Colorado Constitution. It gives us the right to nullify a jury, and I will absolutely nullify a jury. I have no respect for the laws, the police who enforce them, or the prosecutors who try to prosecute them. I will not uphold these laws, period.
Well, what I can say is that the issue of specifically drug policy, These are really becoming central, and I'm glad you bring it up, because our guest after the top of the hour, Mason DeVert, is going to talk to us about the effort to make our drug policy more humane. But the good news out of this situation is that this is really coming to the forefront of the national agenda. The Hill newspaper today reports that both Republican and Democratic legislators in Congress are now starting to talk about the effort to legalize marijuana as part of
dealing with the situation of increasing violence on the Mexican border. And we're going to talk to Mason DeVert about that in the 8 a.m. hour. So everybody stick around. We're going to be talking more about this after the top of the news.
Stop all the labeling. Stop all the name calling. The country is done with this us versus them conversation.
The Ed Schultz Show.
We have spoken.
Mornings 10 to 1 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
There are debt cures for almost every situation. No matter how much money you owe in credit card debt, all the information you really need is yours free when you call Smart Debtor right now for your free debt review. We were so shocked at how the credit card companies work to keep you in debt that when we learned about debt solutions they don't want you to know about, we decided to give everyone who calls now a free debt review. That's right, absolutely free. Just call Smart Debtor now at 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218 and get the free debt review that everyone should have. To find out how you can get out of debt now, just call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Again, 800-303-9218.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. Budget surgery will be on the agenda when President Obama holds his first full cabinet meeting about an hour from now. CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
The president will tell his cabinet and agency chiefs to get out the budget knife. A senior official says he wants $100 million in proposed spending cuts. The administration also plans to cut dozens of programs that it deems wasteful or ineffective. Republicans say the plans are all worthwhile, but there'll be a drop in the budget bucket as the administration proposes its $3.6 trillion spending plan, along with the already approved $787 billion stimulus package.
General Motors says it's going to cut 1,600 salaried jobs in the next few days to cut costs so it can qualify for more government assistance. More layoffs may be in the works, but a new survey of businesses suggests the economy could be turning a corner. Sarah Johnson is with the National Association for Business Economics.
The economy is looking a bit better. It's not recovering yet, but at least the rate of decline is abating.
Bank of America is the latest big bank to report a better-than-expected first-quarter profit, more than $2.8 billion. The parents of an American journalist jailed in Iran as a U.S. spy have seen her for the first time since she was sent to prison. Reza Saberi says his daughter Roxana is holding up well under the circumstances.
She was looking forward for the appeal because she knew that this kind of verdict was too heavy for her.
Saberi is facing 8 years behind bars. The United States and more than half a dozen other countries will skip this week's UN racism conference because they're concerned that Muslim countries will use the meeting to gang up on Israel. As the conference was beginning today, other countries walked out, just as Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was calling Israel a cruel and racist regime. New information of the Holocaust is still coming out. CBS's Vicky Barker has that.
We've all heard of such Nazi death camps as Auschwitz and Dachau, but on this Holocaust Remembrance Day, scholars at Israel's Yad Vashem Museum are releasing details of a forgotten Holocaust. 1.5 million Jews were killed in the former Soviet Union, and in the overwhelming majority of cases, the killers were not German occupiers, but locals. Neighbor massacring neighbor. 6 decades on, the truth is coming out. Vicky Barker, CBS News.
Jamaican authorities are holding the gunman who forced his way onto a Canadian charter jet at the airport near Montego Bay and held the crew hostage all night. Police and soldiers were able to arrest the hijacker without bloodshed. Aviation security writer Philip Baum.
This was an aircraft on the ground. Whilst it's something we don't want to happen, the safety implications are not as severe as if it had been a hijack of an aircraft in flight.
The Dow is down 190 points. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm the superintendent of a school district. Last week, we added Aflac to our employee benefits package. With Aflac, we're headed to the top of the class. It helps us attract and retain employees, and it's available at no direct cost to the district. Plus, getting started is as easy as...
Aflac.
Get extra credit.
Aflac,
for more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to
AflacForBusiness.com.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Right now at the Home Depot, all seed packets are buy one, get one free. You could grow a bounty of fresh vegetables, saving you a bundle at the grocery store. Plus, the Home Depot has organic seeds that are part of our Eco Options program, so you can save green and live green. It all starts with seed packets, two for the price of one. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Offer valid through April 25th in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
I'm David Cale with an AM 760 local news update. Today marks the 10th anniversary of the deadly shootings at Columbine. Lauren Townsend, one of the 13 killed that day, and her mother, Dawn Anna, says similar plots have likely been broken up because of increased vigilance since Columbine.
How many have been stopped because of Columbine? You know, you don't hear that. Because of Columbine, this one was stopped. Columbine means that as well.
Anna says she wants today to represent hope, not tragedy. Colorado flags will fly at half-staff today. Anti-gun activists will demonstrate at the state capitol this morning with what they call a ceremonial lie-down. 13 people representing the Columbine victims will lie on the Capitol lawn, encircled by 23 others representing those injured. Speakers will include Tom Mauser, whose son Danny was killed at Columbine. Portions of hillsides soaked by close to 5 feet of snow gave way, sending mud and rocks onto three highways and forcing their closures. No injuries or damage was reported in the rock slides. The metro area got 2 to 4 inches of moisture. Pastor Mark Pumphrey says his home near 13th and Down Downing was damaged.
Walk out the patio door and I look and my patio, part of it has disappeared and has slid down into that 30-foot or 20-foot hole.
Pumphrey talking to 9 News. Thousands have gone without power, but most is expected to be back on in most areas today. And at least one Front Range ski area will stay open for a while because of the snow. Echo Mountain near Evergreen will roll the lifts for another 2 weekends. Sports, Nuggets over the Hornets, 113-84. Game 2 of that series is Wednesday night at Pepsi Center. And the Rockies lose to the Dodgers 14-2. They begin a 3-game series in Arizona tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale. Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Watch out for our first highway crash of the morning. This is eastbound 6th Avenue on that approach to Federal. Other than that, we're just seeing slowdowns in those usual areas like southbound I-25 downtown. Southbounders on 2 1/4. You're feeling it after Parker Road up towards DTC. Speeds through that stretch are going to drop into the teens and 20s. 270 is also a busy ride across Commerce City. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Now Shop Mini, featuring the 37-mile-per-gallon Mini Cooper, now available with special 1.9% APR financing through April 30th. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Right now at the Home Depot, all seed packets are buy one, get one free. You can grow a bounty of fresh vegetables, saving you a bundle at the grocery store. Plus, the Home Depot has organic seeds that are part of our Eco Options program, so you can save green and live green. It all starts with seed packets, two for the price of one. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Offer valid through April 25th in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
I really want to compliment you.
I want to compliment you.
I'm a conservative, but I really want to compliment you and your show.
Jay Marvin. This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
8:07, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The 10-year anniversary of Columbine today, and we have been trying to talk about issues that go deeper than just gun control and video games. A couple weeks ago, we had a whole discussion about video games with some experts who themselves have studied video games, and we wanted to try to take today to see if we can get to some of the deeper issues in society that I think play a role in creating a just a generally violent society. And clearly, when you're talking about violence and tolerance and societal angst, you've got to talk about criminal justice laws. Because I think criminal justice laws, how we treat people who break our laws, and whether we're rehabilitating people who break our laws, is a reflection on our attitudes as a society and our tolerance as a society. And for 20, 30 years, we've had the tough-on-crime mantra dominate our politics and our society. And it's this sort of lock-the-door-and-throw-away-the-key criminal justice policy has created more recidivist crime, and I think just generally contributes to a society that is so organized around not just militarism, but punishment. And so today, that's what we've been talking about in light of the Columbine tragedy, asking the question, what in our society makes us a more violent, more punitive society? And does that have to do with everything from Columbine to recidivist property crime to all of the other issues related to our criminal justice system and to crime in general? And so in this hour, we've asked Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer to come on and join us. Today is 4/20, April 20th. It is not only my little brother's birthday. Happy birthday, Stephen, if you're listening. It's not only Adolf Hitler's birthday, which is an unfortunate thing that my brother shares with Adolf Hitler and anybody else who's born on this day. And it's not only the anniversary of the Columbine killings, but 420 is the number that has been used. I think it's, what is it, Mason? It's the police call numbers for marijuana. Is that right?
No, that's actually a long-time myth. It's simply a tradition that started in California in which students would meet at a particular time, typically after...
To partake.
Exactly.
Okay, all right, so I had it wrong. But it is a national a day where national events are held about to try to educate people about marijuana policy and drug policy. And so tell us what you're doing today, Mason, what's happening here in Colorado on the issue of drug policy reform.
Yeah, well, 420 has quickly become a day that's known as almost a celebration and holiday surrounding marijuana in particular, but it's also grown to become a day of awareness and activism. But here in Colorado, like many places around the country and even around the world, it's a time when a lot of people feel very comfortable not only talking about marijuana, but openly using it. And I certainly have mixed feelings when it comes to the whole notion of public marijuana use as a form of protest. I don't think it's really the best form of protest, if it's a good form at all, but it certainly raises a lot of questions. You know, it gets people thinking about, hey, you know, we every Sunday for an entire football season, we let people, you know, thousands of people get together and get drunk.
We celebrate it. We don't just let them. We celebrate it.
Absolutely. And you know, this is the one day out of the entire year where people actually feel comfortable getting together and using marijuana openly without fear of really getting in trouble. And it certainly gets people talking and thinking, and hopefully we get a little deeper than, you know, the traditional, typical news coverage that is very shallow and just shows people smoking pot and doesn't really get into why they are or what they're, you know, what they're trying to, you know, the point they're trying to make.
And in a column that I had written a couple weeks ago, I had made the point, I tried to make this point in a personal way. I said that if I wrote in the column that I was drunk while I wrote the column, nobody would say anything. You know, if I wrote in the column that I was stoned while I was writing the column, I'm sure I would have gotten a whole lot of hate mail about how I'm a pothead. Yeah. And so the double standard there is just, it's just, you can't even deny it. Now, let me ask you this question. Today is, again, 420. We're talking to Mason Tvert. Today, 420 is a national day of where there are events staged across the country to try to educate the public on the idiocy, really, of our drug policy. And I'm reading here in the Hill newspaper, pot legalization favored by some to stem violence. A growing chorus of lawmakers is openly calling for the legalization of marijuana as a measure to stop the escalating violence along the U.S.-Mexico border. The legislators who have endorsed legalization are Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez, a Democrat from California, Congressman Jim McDermott, a Democrat from Washington State, Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, a Republican from California, and Congressman Ron Paul, the Republican from Texas. Now, the article goes on to say that the chances of legalization occurring soon seem slim, but this suggests, I think, that there may be a perfect storm coming down the pike for the issue of drug policy reform. Certainly, in the last hour, we talked to State Senator Morgan Carroll, who was saying the same thing about general criminal justice reform, that is, that the budget pressures on states are creating a situation where we can finally ask the questions about whether the criminal justice system is working in the context of whether it's bankrupting us or not. And so it seems to me this situation on the U.S.-Mexico border may also, specifically for drug policy, may also be creating the context that we can finally talk about this issue in a way that perhaps more politicians will feel like it's politically safe.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting subject matter. I personally feel like this does. Yeah, you're absolutely right. This provides the context for people to have an open discussion about this. As does the economic situation. Obviously, provides a situation in which we can have a discussion about tax revenue generation and savings and so on regarding marijuana and other drug policies.
I mean, and you don't see. I mean, that's not. To you, I mean, I'd rather have a discussion about drug policy on the merits of whether our drug policy is humane, whether our drug policy is smart, whether our drug policy is the right thing or the wrong thing. But the other part of me is like, look, you know, if some other situation allows politicians to wade into the issue in a way that makes them feel more comfortable. You know, to me, it's like, you know, I'm not a purist on how we get drug policy reform as long as we get it.
I certainly agree. The point that I would like to make is that I think that while this provides an opportunity for discussion, it's not going to provide an argument that's going to result in change. So in other words, you know, because there is this increasing violence, there's an increased awareness of the results of a prohibition system and the violence that it, you know, we could avoid if we were to seek an alternative. But, you know, if someone thinks that marijuana is going to ruin their child's life or lead to mental illness or what have you, all the number of lies that we've heard from our government over the last several years, they're not going to buy into the notion that, you know, I'm willing to legalize marijuana just to save the lives of, you know, some, you know, drug runners in Mexico, or they're not going to be willing to legalize marijuana just to raise a few bucks in tax revenue. Essentially, you know, we need to get people thinking about marijuana in the context of it being just a substance that's far less harmful than alcohol and several other things that we allow people to use, and really, you know, address the harm, the perception of harm surrounding it. Otherwise, people aren't going to change their mind. A good analogy would be, you know, the war going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, at the time when people thought that our public safety was going to be harmed if we didn't carry out a war in Iraq, we supported it.
That's such a good metaphor.
Regardless of the fact that it was a drain on our economy and it was a waste of resources, we supported it because we were scared for our safety.
Okay, let me counter that, because here's the problem, right? And we're talking to Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer. They deal with drug policy reform here in Colorado. Here's the other side of that, which is on the criminal issue of criminal justice reform. I feel like people are going to say, look, Okay, Mason, I agree with you. The criminal justice system's unfair. We're locking up too many nonviolent drug offenders. I agree with you. But I'm okay, and again, I'm playing devil's advocate, because I'm not okay. Me, David Sirota, is not okay. But I can hear somebody saying, I'm not okay. I'm okay with locking up a few nonviolent drug offenders as a negative cost of doing business to stop murderers and rapists from being in my community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm willing, right? It's like the same argument you're making. We were willing to go into Iraq and Afghanistan and make that huge mistake because we said, all right, look, we might create a huge problem, but at least it's going to stop the terrorists from coming here. How do we get out of this psychology that is so emotionally impulsive on issues like this?
I think we need strong point of view, you know, and I know that you would agree with this. We need bold leadership. We need progressive leadership, people who are willing to stand up and discuss the facts in a rational, dispassionate manner and not succumb to, the politics of this all. And, you know, Senator Morgan Carroll is a good example of someone who's, you know, she certainly never shied away from suggesting that she supports reform in this area. For example, when she was running in 2006, and she answered in her candidate survey that she supported the amendment here in Colorado to make marijuana legal. Several others who probably would support the notion were unwilling to say that. And, you know, so we need more leaders willing to not just to say that. And then we also need even bolder leaders to come out and question why we're not doing anything about it. Because, you know, a lot of people here in Colorado are on the fence or in support quietly, and they really need to be hearing that it's okay to come out and support this. I can't tell you how many times I've been outside a grocery store collecting signatures for a drug policy reform ballot measure where people, even attorneys, teachers, smart people, say, you know, I'm really concerned about putting my name on that.
Okay, hold that thought. Can you stick with us for the break? Because I want to. Okay, great. And for those who are hanging on, Dwayne and Isaiah, hang on the phone. We're gonna get to your calls right after the break. I want to ask you, Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer, one other question on the other side, and I'll preview it here. I want to have one piece of our discussion talk about how we break through the cultural problem. People can accept the science. All right, I accept the science that we need drug policy reform, that marijuana in particular isn't any more harmful than alcohol. But how do we break through the cultural stereotypes that I think so paralyze this debate? So stick around. Stick with us. 820, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. We're going to get back to Mason Tvert after the break, and then we're going to take your calls. First, let's go to Todd Parker with traffic.
Pretty slow speeds as you're traveling eastbound on...
Interested in learning more about solar and helping the environment? Then join Independent Power Systems at Party for the Planet Kids Fest at the Denver Aquarium. Party for the Planet is the American Zoo Association's official Earth Day celebration. Kids Fest is this Saturday, April 25th at the Denver Aquarium from 10 to 4. Visit solarips.com/kidfest to learn more or to schedule a free solar assessment. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Don't open just any door. Open the door to your dream home with the Century 21 Path to Your Dream sweepstakes. One winner will get the chance to win $221,000 towards a new home. Go to century21.com/sweepstakes to enter.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older and legal U.S. resident to enter. Void in Kansas, Missouri, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Rhode Island. Details at century21.com/sweepstakes. Odds winning depend on number of entries. That's May 16th. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
There's trucks, minivans, vans, and SUVs in Colorado. Over 500 units on the lot, and they've got everything you can think of. Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Nissan, Toyota, Honda, Saab, Pontiac, Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar. I mean, they've got it all. And these are the kind of things I hear about Rockies all the time.
I did go up to Rockies. It was the best experience I ever had of buying a car. I bought a lot of cars in my life. Just the whole experience, I was going to tell you, was awesome.
I want to put a plug in for Rockies. We bought that car. We bought it cheap, and it was worth a whole lot more. My next vehicle is going to be from them again, I guarantee you.
That's Rockies Autos, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Get out there and see them in person. Rocky's Auto is located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. Latest example, 20% off select special order doors and windows, including Geldwin, Feather River, and Masonite. Which can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, is proud to present the Peerless Diamond.
That's Jared!
Many experts say the most beautiful diamond is the ideal cut diamond. Exclusively at Jared, the Peerless Diamond, the ideal cut diamond, is tested and certified by two independent laboratories. One measures the diamond's four C's, while the other its radiance and fire. This second report measures what your eyes will have already told you, that the Peerless is one beautiful diamond.
It can only be Jared!
Tom Hartman.
You know, it's the culture, stupid. It's not the religion. It's so important. We need to be looking at helping to transform cultures around the world, bringing people into the modern age to the extent that it's appropriate to do so. And we need to learn the lesson, and we need to learn it very quickly, that you can't do that by sticking a gun in somebody's face or dropping a bomb on their family.
It's the Tom Hartman Program, 1 to 4, on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, and AM760.net.
Hey, 24, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We're back with Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer, the organization in-state that works on drug policy reform. Okay, so Mason, the question that I previewed at the break, let's say that a lot of people stipulate or are starting to stipulate, okay, that the scientific claims, you know, reefer madness, oh, pot, you know, pot's going to screw you up, it's going to make you a crazy person. Let's just stipulate that lots and lots of people, including a lot of politicians, say, you know, okay, I'm there with you. I agree that pot is no more dangerous than alcohol. In fact, there's a lot of argument to be made that says that pot is a lot safer than alcohol. It's the health effects. I mean, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn when I'm saying that my brother, for instance, he's a doc in town, would tell you that he sees far more alcohol related problems in the hospital that he works in than marijuana problems. And what's interesting is in this Hill newspaper article that I mentioned about potential bipartisan support in Congress for legalization, here's what Dana Rohrabacher, the very conservative Republican, says at the bottom of this story, and he's in support of this, of legalizing marijuana. He says, quote, "There are a lot of people who understand that the current war on drugs have been a failure, but they're afraid to politically say so. If it was a vote, a blind vote in Congress where nobody knew who was voting, you would have overwhelming support for legalizing marijuana out there, but they will never vote for it because they're afraid of taking on a controversial issue." So clearly there's this cultural thing where, and I was listening on the way in to work very early this morning, where one talk show host was railing on quote unquote potheads, right? We never rail on, you know, beer heads or drunk heads. And so the question is that there obviously is this cultural stereotype that's considered automatically, or many politicians think it's automatically negative. It's been so, you know, to admit that you use pot is to be potentially open yourself up to being tarred and feathered as some sort of counterculture, super hippie, illegitimate person out there. And so how do we break through that cultural stereotype? And will it require somebody like Jim Webb, the senator from Virginia? He's pushing forward a bill that deals with criminal justice reform, and he is talking specifically about decriminalizing marijuana. And this is a guy who can't really be billed as like a counterculture figure. He was a major Vietnam War hero. He's like one of the sort of, he's got this image of like John McClane in Die Hard. So it's hard to, do we need people like that? Is that what's going to be required to break through this cultural stereotype? I mean, how do we get through this stereotype?
Well, I think we need to have a much more open and public discourse. You know, obviously we've constructed a culture around alcohol. It's, you know, a recreational intoxicant. It's a drug people use for no real other reason other than to relax or have fun or to better enjoy social circumstances or to inspire creativity. And we've basically selected that as our national drug of choice. If there was a so-called, you know, state drug or national drug, much like a, you know, national anthem or national, you know, bird, we've chosen alcohol as a society. And, you know, we go to baseball games at Coors Field. We ride the roller coasters at Busch Gardens. We toast newlyweds with champagne. We hold cocktail parties for political campaigns. Just about everything that we do surrounds drinking. And people grow up seeing their parents drink wine with dinner, cocktails at parties, and so on. And, you know, and we've kind of taken marijuana, and really that's the other high, you know, incredibly popular recreational substance used for very much the same reason as alcohol. And we've stuck it, you know, deep below the surface. We don't let people see it publicly. People don't see their parents use it as they grow up. They're actually, you know, told by police in their classrooms that it's bad and that they should report their parents if they hear
right.
About
so
it.
What I'm so what I'm asking is, like,
what do we do?
You know, how do we get through this? It's so cultural. It's not even it's the antithesis of empirical, right? It's just like, oh, if you smoke weed, you're a countercultural, outside the norm, hippie. I mean, just insert sort of negative epithet there. And I'm wondering is like, is it going to require specifically people, leaders at the leadership level, people who kind of break that mold, who can't be put into that box?
Absolutely. But, you know, what's important is I think that leaders has to be a broadly defined term, because there's leaders in various different
places. Yeah, I'm not just talking about politicians. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm talking about, you know, law enforcement people, teachers. I mean, it's going to require everybody, I think, on this issue can be a leader. And the first part of this is breaking through that cultural barrier to get people. I mean, if we can't break through that cultural barrier, people aren't going to listen. In other words, there's this, it's like this defense mechanism. The only thing the other side can say is hippie, you know, pothead. And that just, and what they're banking on is that the vast majority of the public that's thinking about this issue will just say, I don't want to be a hippie. I don't want to be a pothead. Right, and it just completely shut off. Mason Tavert of Colorado Safer, thanks for joining us today. Oh, and I forgot, tell us today is 4/20. So where can people, if they wanna join in any of the demonstrations or events today, what's going on locally?
Well, there's certainly been a long tradition of people gathering at the University of Colorado Boulder, as well as in Denver Civic Center Park for events. But I would really encourage people to take the day and the opportunity to spark a discussion with their, you know, their fellow coworkers or their families, and just, you know, say, hey, did you hear about these things going on today? And just bring up the subject, because that's when people's minds are going to change, when they hear from people they know openly talking about it and expressing a desire to see change.
Mason Tavert of Colorado Safer. Hey, man, I'll see you. I'll at least see you this weekend for the event. All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care.
That was Mason Tavert of Colorado Safer, working on drug policy reform here in Colorado. All right, let's hit the phones. 303-713-7600 is the number. We're going to take them in the order that we received. Isaiah and Dwayne have been holding, so we're going to go to Isaiah first. Isaiah in Fort Collins, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Okay.
Wonderful show today.
Thanks.
I have some comments about our prison population and some solutions. First of all, we incarcerate a higher percentage of our population than any other country in the world.
I read a stat, and I'm not sure if it's right. I'm going to double-check in the break. I read a stat that says that we the United States has 25% of the world's prison population.
That's correct. That's correct. We have 25% of the world's population in
the world's prison population, right.
We have 5% of the world's population.
Yeah, it's like unbelievable.
It's over 1 in 100 adults in this country are currently in jail or prison.
Let me just say this. When you throw out a stat like that, here's the question we always have to answer. Does that mean we're a more violent society or do we have more criminals, or are our laws disproportionately draconian?
Okay, well, first of all, the problem of mandatory minimum sentencing is huge in this country. To take judicial discretion away from judges is just completely nonsense. But one of the main factors of your prison population, besides being a man, the leading indicator is your level of education. And when you were talking about these culture wars, well, I'll paraphrase them back into culture wars, and basically ignorance. And education is the only way that we can solve our problems.
I mean, it's undeniable. And here's the thing that I get nervous about when we talk about education. I get nervous when politicians portray education as the only and best way to build our economy. And I say that because I get nervous because a lot of politicians will vote for trade policies and corporate welfare policies that destroy the structure of our economy and say, no, I'm not trying to destroy the structure of our economy because I support education. And if we just educate everybody, our economy will do better. Now, you rig your trade laws, you rig your corporate regulation policy, and I don't care if you've got a nation of PhDs, you're going to have a lot of unemployment, a lot of job outsourcing, et cetera, et cetera. However, it's undeniable that education is extremely beneficial in terms of creating, a more civilized, less violent, less criminal society. That's absolutely true about our education system. And so I completely, completely agree with you, and I really appreciate you bringing it up because it hasn't been brought up this morning at all. Isaiah and Fort Collins, thanks so much for calling. Let me hit Dwayne here. Dwayne in Weld County. Dwayne.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
One thing, I don't know if this has been brought up or not, there is a large financial interest in the penal industry.
We talked about this, right.
Okay, well,
The Corrections Corporation of America, in privatizing your prison system and your criminal justice system, you are creating a financial special interest for draconian criminal justice laws.
Absolutely. And the other thing I find interesting is that the American population is very prone and very easily talked into bond issues to create a new prison, but they will not go and finance new education nearly as easily. And although we do spend money on education, we should be spending more, because even if it's not having to do with drug education or anything like that, the number of people that you can keep out of prison by spending, it costs, $30,000 or $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 to keep somebody in prison.
Right.
If you were to spend, that much money and keep people out of prison, here's what the problem is you have no statistics to back you up for something that didn't happen.
That's right, because you can't make a one-to-one correlation. You're exactly right. And in a soundbite politics, you always seem to need one-to-one correlation. There is no one-to-one correlation between investment in education and lack of crime. But we do know that, as Isaiah had mentioned before, we do know that much of the prison population is disproportionately less educated. So we know that there is some kind of correlation. Dwayne, thanks for the call. 836, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. It's the 10-year anniversary of the awful Columbine killings. And we've been talking about criminal justice reform, drug policy reform, whether our societies, the policies that we don't talk about very much, have something to do with creating a more violent, less tolerant, more alienated society. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Let's go to Todd Parker with traffic.
Crews are cleaning up an accident on the eastbound side of 6th Avenue right around Federal. Got a couple other crashes that could get in your way. There's an accident. This one's on the ramp from northbound Parker Road as you're trying to get on to southbound 225. That gets pretty busy there, so watch out for that. Two cars mixed it up. Alameda just east of Federal. That could also be a little bit crunchy. Westbounders on the turnpike. Volume is building from about Wadsworth towards Flatiron as you are trying to get to Boulder. 270 is a busy ride across Commerce City, as is the eastbound side of 36 right around Sheridan. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Toyota owners, be sure to keep your Toyota running smoothly with regularly scheduled maintenance. Your local Denver Metro Toyota service centers are your one-stop shop for all your needs. Get the right service at the right price by the right people. Toyota, moving forward.
Tom Hartman on AM 760. Everybody's gonna
love today. Jay in the morning. Interested in learning more about solar and helping the environment? Then join Independent Power Systems at Party for the Planet Kids Fest at the Denver Aquarium. Party for the Planet is the American Zoo Association's official Earth Day celebration. Kids Fest is this Saturday, April 25th at the Denver Aquarium from 10 to 4. Visit solarips.com/kidfest to learn more or to schedule a free solar assessment. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Boys. No temps, no costly benefits, just skilled professionals. Visit 10till2.com. That's TENTILTWO.com. 10 till 2. The time is now.
Hi, this is Jay Marvin. LASIK. I know, it makes a lot of you nervous. A lot of you say, hey, I'm eye shy. Jay, and there's no way I'm going to do anything about it. Well, I was the same way till I went to Icon LASIK. Let me tell you something about Icon. They're a Denver institution, and they offer interlaced bladeless LASIK, Nidec, and Wavefront LASIK technologies, the top of the line in LASIK. They're your one stop for all your LASIK needs, and they can do it for as low as $499 per eye. And they have done tons and tons of these procedures. So they treat you great. As a matter of fact, they've completed over 60,000 procedures in Colorado. So if you've been shy about LASIK, hey, do yourself a favor. Call Icon. Set up a free custom vision evaluation today, and it'll just put your mind at rest, really. Call Icon, 720-524-1001. That's 720-524-1001. Or check them out on the internet at icondenver.com.
Awaken your spirit with John Nakamatsu and the Boulder Philharmonic Orchestra, April 25th at Mackey Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. Call the box office at 303-449-1343, extension 2, or visit boulderphil.org.
Did you know that virtually all replacement windows are tested and rated for energy efficiency before they are offered for sale to the public? Colorado Window Source strongly urges consumers to beware of other companies out there that are misleading you to think you're getting something of value almost given to you. Hi, this is Leo from Colorado Window Source. My partners, Kurt, Scott, and I offer true pricing. Our best price, the first time, all the time. No gimmicks, no false discounts, no pressure. Colorado Window Source is your premier provider for replacement windows, siding, patio, and entry doors. By the way, the government is giving money away. Take advantage of the stimulus plan tax credit, and we will match your credit up to the maximum of $1,500. Call it the Colorado Window Source. Stimulate and maximize your savings program. We have the best pricing, great referrals, Gold Star No Complaints Award from the BBB, proud member of Tom Martino's referral list, and our service is backed by our exclusive true warranty. So give us a call at 720-200-2700. Or click on ColoradoWindowSource.com or stop by our showroom on the southwest corner of County Line in Quebec in Highlands Ranch.
Right now at the Home Depot, all seed packets are buy one, get one free. You can grow a bounty of fresh vegetables, saving you a bundle at the grocery store. Plus, the Home Depot has organic seeds that are part of our Eco Options program, so you can save green and live green. It all starts with seed packets, two for the price of one. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Offer valid through April 25th in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
.841, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. I want to read this excerpt to you from a fantastic interview that one of my heroes, really a role model, I think, of at least for me personally, David Simon, the creator of The Wire, the single greatest television show ever made. I'm throwing that out there. It's the single greatest television show ever made. Now, I'm a huge Lost fan, and I watch Weeds, and I watch, what else do I watch? Mad Men, but I'll tell you something, The Wire is the greatest show ever made. And I want to read this excerpt from what David Simon told Bill Moyers this weekend in the interview that he did with Bill Moyers, just to understand the politics of this. Listen, he says, if you could be draconian and reduce drug use by locking people up, you might have an argument. But we're the jailingest country on the planet right now. 2 million people in prison. When I started as a police reporter, this is David Simon talking, 34% of the federal inmate population was violent offenders. Now it's about 7 or 8%. So we're locking up less violent people, more of them. The drugs are purer. They haven't closed down a single drug corner that I know of in Baltimore for any length of time. It's not working. And by the way, this is not a Republican or Democrat thing, because a lot of the most draconian stuff came out of the Clinton administration. This guy, he's speaking about Bill Clinton, trying to maneuver to the center in order to not be perceived as leftist by a Republican Congress. So the politics of drug policy and criminal justice policy has created a dynamic where the Democrats have to, in many ways, be more regressive and reactionary than Republicans, because they've been, for so long, billed as weak. The Willie Hortonization of our politics, right? The Willie Horton ad that berated Michael Dukakis as quote-unquote weak on crime because he had created a furlough program in Massachusetts, has really warped this debate in a way that makes it really difficult to have any discussion about violence and crime that doesn't go past the issues of gun control and video games. And that's what we're trying to do today. It's the 10-year anniversary of the Columbine killings, and we're trying to have a discussion that goes deeper into violence, crime, and punishment than merely the old discussions of gun control and video games. Join the conversation, 303-713-7600. This hour we're talking about the issue of drug policy. Are our drug policies too draconian? And what does our draconian drug policy say about our overall tolerance as a society? And is that intolerance? Is our draconian drug policies, what kind of problems does that create? You know, you throw somebody in jail for a nonviolent drug offense, you throw them in, lock the door, throw away the key, you're probably going to make them more angry, more angst-ridden, and potentially more of a criminal, more of a real criminal when they get out. What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. Justin on the cell, what do you think?
Man, great show, by the way.
Thanks.
So much to talk about. It's my head's spinning here because you brought up so many different questions and so many different points here. But what I called about was a movie that I think I saw on IFC or Sundance, one of the two. It's called Grass. It's narrated by Woody Harrelson, and it's real entertaining. It's a very well-done documentary, but it goes through all the different crime laws and the stages of the marijuana laws that were created in this country, and the first people arrested and why, and different tricks the government did to try and make it look like it was legal, but they didn't hand out permits. And either way, it's a great movie, and it's a good way for a lot of people to understand how some of these people, how they view this, how, you know, they have a negative opinion and call people potheads. It can kind of give you an idea of where they're coming from because of the amount of propaganda that came out. And this movie is very good about documenting when that stuff came out, who made it, different research that happened, like by the mayor of New York City. He did a bunch of, I mean, it's a really great movie. I really suggest it.
It's called Grass.
It's called Grass.
All right. I will check it out. Thanks for the tip, man.
No problem.
Hey, I'm sorry. I accidentally hit the wrong button. What, you were going to add? You were going to add something?
Yeah, I was going to say that your question about the, you know, who do we need to represent us, you know, if we need somebody. Like, you know, I think you're talking about Jim Webb.
Right.
And people like that. I think you're right. I think we do need people that are, you know, don't come across as the pothead or the hippie or the, you know, the long hair type, whatever you want to call it, to, you know, show these people, you know, like my old school dad and all these people that just have this negative opinion that think that if you smoke pot, you can't do anything with your life.
Right.
And somebody successful that says, hey, man, I'm successful. I do this, or I know of people, or just somebody that's kind of like-minded as some of these old school people would really help, I think, change the laws.
I can't agree with you more. And I don't want to say that, you know, I don't like my worry is that when you look Jim Webb as an example.
Right.
I have an issue with the media always ascribing more seriousness to people based only on their military service, or for instance, their service in as a policeman or firefighter.
As in their opinions only valid if they're a police officer.
Exactly. It's not that I think that people who are in the military or a police officer or a firefighter aren't valid. But what I'm saying is that the media tends to ascribe automatic validity and credibility to people from the military, credibility and toughness to people from the military, the police force, firefighters, regardless of what they're saying. And so we had a lot during the Iraq War. We had a lot of ex-military people who were politicians now saying we should go into war, into this crazy war, and they were given increased credibility by virtue of the fact that they were in the military, even though they were pushing crazy ideas. So I'm a little nervous about saying, well, we need somebody like Jim Webb based primarily on his military experience and primarily on the fact that he can't be framed as like a hippie, pushing drug policy reform. So I don't like, that just makes me, I just don't like that. I don't think it's the right way, but it's the reality of our time.
Well, on the same line, back in the day when I was younger, I dated the daughter of a female police officer, and her daughter drank quite a bit, was quite an alcoholic, and I was a pot smoker, and she had caught me rolling joints in her house and doing whatever, and caught me in public places and pulled up next to me. She told me, and this police officer, she was a sheriff's deputy here in Colorado, and she told me in her career, they've never had any problems with people that are smoking pot, and they're worried about people that are drinking. And they have to take your pot because that's the law, but they don't write tickets, and if it were up to them, pot would be legal because it gives them more time to concentrate on the criminals.
Well, and that, look, that is,
that gave me more credibility because that was coming from a police officer.
That's right, and you know what? That's actually the way I think that it doesn't matter who the argument's coming from. And I want to be clear. I don't think you should not have credibility. You should automatically not have credibility if you're in the military, the police force, or a firefighter. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that I think that people should have credibility based on what they're saying and not exclusively on what they've been doing. Not exclusively on what they've been doing. Certainly, I think military experience, police force experience, you have a certain leg up on credibility on the issues that relate to what you've been dealing with. All I'm saying is that we've got to reframe the debate, and if we have to rely on the media's false frame, the media's sort of disingenuous framing of anybody who's in the military is serious, if we have to rely on that through Jim Webb, through a Virginia senator like Jim Webb, to break through this ridiculous cultural stereotype of anybody who's for drug decriminalization is some sort of countercultural hippie pothead. If we have to rely on that, if we have to fight fire with fire, I'm okay with it. And I think you're right. Part of the way of reframing this debate is saying, look, the police need to have as many resources as possible to be fighting real crime, not to be arresting people for pot possession. It's ridiculous. Thanks for the call. 851, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Get in on the conversation. 45 degrees going up into the 60s today here in Denver. Supposed to be 70s and even potentially 80s this week. Spring and summer is upon us. Thank the Lord. Let's go to Todd Parker with traffic.
Southbound I-25 still dragging on that approach to I-70 in the downtown area, taking you past 20th. We're also looking at delays on the turnpike, especially on the Denver-bound side. This is between Sheridan and I-25. Crews are working on that accident on the ramp from northbound Parker Road as you're trying to get onto southbound 2 1/4. They're also cleaning up that crash on Alameda east of Federal. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Everything at Hacienda Colorado is made from scratch every day. From ingredients so fresh, so authentic, most people need an interpreter to pronounce them. But fresh and authentic is what it takes to make their signature Mountain Mex. It's Mexican food with altitude.
I would like to hear the conservative talkers, since they're not for failure.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. Would you like to learn to play the piano within 8 weeks? Well, now you can with the unique technique, accelerated piano method at Pianos and Pianos Teaching Facility. This course is half the price of private lessons. With the unique technique method, you'll be playing exciting selections of songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Pianos and Pianos, a proud sponsor of AM 760. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor, brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, the banquet.
When it comes to identity theft protection, a credit report is like an appetizer, just the first part of something good. But if you didn't order it from Identity Guard, you may discover that there's no more food showing up. You see, with Identity Guard, you get an entire banquet of 21st century tools and technologies. All this from the company that's already protected over 20 million people. And that's a lot of money not going into the hands of worldwide identity thieves. So, get Identity Guard today and settle in for a feast of identity theft protection.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault, a $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
If you're thinking of designing your own engagement ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared!
At Jared the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings in platinum or gold. Then select from the thousands of certified diamonds at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes. You'll have the ring only you could create.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
The tough economy doesn't need to affect your business's prosperity. Just maintain your current output while cutting back on fixed costs. Sound impossible? Then you haven't heard of 10 Till 2. 10 Till 2 is the cutting-edge staffing company that specializes in providing businesses just like yours with experienced, college-educated, part-time employees. No temps, no costly benefits, just skilled professionals. Visit 10till2.com. That's TENTILTWO.com. 10 till 2. The time is now.
Returns on your money and implementing strategies to enhance those returns. You see, it all starts with education. By now you realize that this conventional wisdom is just not working. Let's get you on the path to recovery. And the first step is to order my free educational information kit. This kit is free to anyone ready for change. And you can order it by going to SOWradio.com or calling 1-877-6-RETIRE today. It's urgent.
Hey, back to business in a second. But I just read a statistic you won't believe. Get this. Over 50 million of us don't have adequate life insurance. Seriously. And most are between the ages of 30 and 55. So if you die, your spouse is left alone, trying to figure out how to make ends meet. Borrowing money, draining their retirement, selling the family home. That happened to my mom, and it was tough. Look, if you have a family, you need life insurance. So right now, go get a free quote from eFinancial at 1-800-955-2533. Because you will not believe how affordable life insurance is. Everyone's situation is different, but okay, I'll just tell you. I'm 40, in good health. They got me a $500,000 policy for $20 a month. $20 a month. You spend more than that on coffee, right? So seriously, take care of your family. Get your free life insurance quote now. Let me give you the number again. It's 1-800-955-2533. 1-800-955-2533. 1-800-955-2533. 2533.
856. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's squeeze in a couple calls if we can before the top of the news. If you're holding on through, please hang on through the top of the news. We'll get to your calls, I promise. Suzette in Boulder. Suzette.
Hey, David, you're the kind of host that grows on people, you know?
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Not like a virus, but...
an acquired taste. An acquired taste.
Yeah, an acquired taste. Anyway, I have a story to tell you about a friend of mine who used to run around with Jerry Garcia and Janis Joplin And eventually he ended up as a chief of police in a little town in South Dakota. Yay! You know, that's the hypocrisy of the time, is that everybody smokes dope. Okay?
Well, there's a poll out, a recent poll that says 50% of Americans, roughly 50%, it's a little less than 50%, have said that they've partaken in marijuana.
Yeah, exactly. So, now, my son happens to be a pot dealer. He's very successful. He's on the East Coast. I'm not going to say where. And he makes runs to, where it grows very nicely in California. And he was arrested once on his way back. And thank God he was in Iowa, because Iowa is a wonderful state for pot smugglers. He only had 20 pounds, or 27 pounds, I don't remember. But he had a two years deferred sentence. Cool, huh?
Yeah, that's certainly a much more tolerant policy than exists in many other places. And the issue here is we don't want smuggling. We need this out into the legitimate market, both for tax purposes and because it being in the black market has helped fuel drug-related violence on our border. Thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Stick around after the top of the news.
Hey, it's Tom Harbin, and in case you haven't heard, you can hear AM 760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net. It's great. Just download the iHeartRadio app for free. Find out how at AM760.net.
During the Great Depression, people were frantic to get their hands on gold. With the markets collapsing, people losing their homes, and banks going under, no one wanted to be left out in the cold without reliable assets like gold coins. Today, gold is in limited supply, but the New York Mint is releasing a limited number of coins gleaming in 24-karat gold, the beautiful gold koala, minted by the Australian government and offered at a remarkable $98 per coin when you call 1-800-700-8926. Limit 5 per caller. Gold coins are harder to find than ever, and only a handful of countries have the rich natural resources required to mine this precious metal. But one of those countries is Australia, and the New York Mint has reached an exclusive agreement to release a limited quantity of Australia's glittering gold koala coins at just $98 each, limit 5 per caller. This is a special radio offer, so don't miss this rare opportunity to get your hands on gold affordably. Call 1-800-700-8926. 1-800-700-8926.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. Is the economy improving? Now, the Conference Board says its index of leading indicators fell again in March, though senior economist Ken Goldstein says there is reason to hope.
While the recession will continue through the spring, through the summer, perhaps the intensity, the rate at which we decline, the rate at which we're losing jobs may begin to ease off a little bit.
President Obama holds his first full cabinet session shortly, and he will lay down the spending law. Here's CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
The president will tell his cabinet and agency chiefs to get out the budget knife. A senior official says he wants $100 million in proposed spending cuts. The administration also plans to cut dozens of programs that it deems wasteful or ineffective.
It was a day that shocked the world.
I am on the floor. You've got to get married, right? Can I tell you?
One of the frantic 911 calls from inside Columbine High 10 years ago as two students made their way through the school, shooting students and teachers. When it was over, a dozen students and one teacher were dead, and so were the gunmen. Well, today the school is closed in memory of the victims. One of them was Lauren Townsend. Bruce Beck is her stepfather.
The legacy of Columbine is of change and of schools becoming aware of their students and listening to their voices and parents listening to their kids.
The protests greeted Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's speech to a UN conference in Geneva. When he accused Israel of electing a racist government, cheers erupted. Dozens of diplomats walked out of the room. Earlier, two protesters were dragged out when they interrupted the speech. The parents of Roxana Saberi, an American journalist jailed in Iran, have been allowed to visit her.
I think she's a stronger person than I thought.
That's Akiko Saberi, who says her daughter seems okay. She's been sentenced to 8 years on charges of spying for the U.S. Iran's chief judiciary officer has ordered a full investigation of her case, Saberi's parents denied the charges, and they're asking authorities to show compassion. No injuries in a standoff at the airport in Montego Bay, Jamaica, where a gunman described as mentally challenged had held six crew members aboard a Can Air jet for 8 hours. The episode ended when authorities stormed the plane and captured the gunman. Early in the standoff, two members of the crew and 159 passengers had been freed. And the gunman got aboard the plane when it was about to take off by forcing his way through a security checkpoint. Philip Baum is an aviation security expert.
The number one security measure that I feel should be adopted worldwide is that of behavioral analysis, that we need to focus less on what people are carrying, but more on what their intent is.
America's most fabled foot race is underway. This is the 113th edition of the Boston Marathon. Defending men's champion Robert Chariot of Kenya is after his fifth Boston crown. And Ethiopia's Dire Tune is trying to win the women's division for the second year in a row. On Wall Street, the Dow way down off 228 points, the Nasdaq off 55. This is CBS News.
Hey, Ted, there's some guy with a guitar standing behind your ATV.
I know. Hit it, Larry.
Open road, stretching forever. Me and my best friend gonna have some fun.
What was that?
Oh, that's my folk singer. I saved so much money on my ATV insurance by switching to Geico, I was able to get this guy to play songs for us all day.
Saving you money on your ATV insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business. Geico Power Sports. Insurance for all the things that move you.
What's the true cost to own a minivan? If you choose the Honda Odyssey, the answer is less than you might think. Because it's a top safety pick by the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, your insurance costs can be significantly lower over the long term. Plus, it's nice to know your passengers will feel protected too. Good reasons why the Odyssey is the best-selling minivan in America.
Based on all Polk & Company retail registrations for the minivan segment January through November 2008, based on Edmunds.com's true cost to own for the first 5 years of ownership.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update, a day to remember and move on. 10 years ago today, 12 students and teacher Dave Sanders were killed at Columbine.
We've spent 10 years every year remembering the day of his death, and I think from here on out, we're going to really try to celebrate his life.
Connie Sanders talking about her father. She'll be one of hundreds attending a memorial today at Clement Park across from the high school, which will be closed. Governor Ritter has ordered flags be flown at half staff today. Anti-gun activists mark the Columbine anniversary with a demonstration at the state capitol this morning. Xcel Energy says additional crews are working to restore power to about 2,000 customers still without electricity in Evergreen. Xcel Energy spokesman Joe Fuentes says the utility expects all of its Evergreen customers will have power back today. And at least one Front Range ski area will stay open for a while because of the new snow. Echo Mountain near Evergreen will roll the lifts for another 2 weekends. Sports, Nuggets all over the Hornets in Game 1 of their series, the final 113-84. Game 2 of the series Wednesday night at Pepsi Center. And the Rockies fortunately leave L.A. They were swept by the Dodgers over the weekend. They begin a 3-game series in Arizona tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
You may see some late delays on the southbound side at 225 after Parker.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
The recently released Amazon Kindle 2 has a couple of new buttons, the iPhone and iPod Touch. A new app has just been pushed out through Apple's App Store, which allows users to read the exact same Kindle content with their Apple devices. It doesn't end there, though, as shared features include the ability to sync bookmarks, buy new content, and more.
Inspector Gadget.
Technology. Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
Looking for a new companion to keep track of the time and the number of calories you're burning? You need to check out the latest additions to Garmin's Forerunner range of watches, including the 310 XT, which features a robust exterior, is waterproof to 50 meters, boasts improved calorie counting accuracy, and also has GPS and wireless connectivity capabilities.
Inspector Gadget.
Showbiz.
Bruno
is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics. Here you go, boss.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
With the new iPod Shuffle, think zero, as in zero buttons. Yep, user control of the new Shuffle from the main unit to the headphones results in a reduction in size of around 50%. As cool as it sounds, though, there is one small caveat. If you're doing anything other than sitting still, you're going to have trouble grabbing the constantly swaying headphone control.
Inspector Gadget.
And the kind of violence that we've seen in the Columbine shootings and in the Columbine-like shootings, all the derivatives of the Columbine shootings. Now, granted, violent crime is going down in our country. But clearly we've seen a lot of these shootings, and so on the 10-year anniversary of the Columbine shootings, we wanted to try to get into a discussion that goes a little deeper. And we've talked about criminal justice reform and how our current criminal justice system potentially exacerbates violence in our culture by locking people up, throwing away the key, making them more, not really rehabilitating them, and making them potentially more violent. We've talked about an economy that drives people to the edge, and when you drive a society to the edge, you potentially are going to have real problems at the fringe. And we've also talked about a militaristic culture, how a society that we as individuals think of America as a altruistic, humane place, humanitarian in our goals, but we're also the most militaristic culture and country in the world, and that in order to justify that militarism, we have a pop culture that sells us on the necessity of institutionalized violence. What kind of impact does that have on creating violence in the specific, in the local? Right? I mean, there has to be a connection between how much violence we're sold, the necessity of violence, and the desensitization of our society to violence. In the movies, video games, it's not just video games, right? But that's the whole issue with my criticism of the video game issue, is that it's not just video games, it's movies, it's TV, it's advertisements, it's everything we're being sold that violence is just a necessity. And if that's the case, are we really shocked that some individuals already on the emotional and mental edge are going to apply that violent ethos to their own individual lives? And we're also talking about it in the context of even drug policy. Drug policy is part of criminal justice policy, a draconian criminal justice policy that is locking up thousands and millions of people on nonviolent drug offenses. There's an effort in Colorado to have some kind of criminal justice reform moving through the legislature, and we talked to State Senator Morgan Carroll about that earlier on in the show, and in the last hour we talked to Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer about reforming specifically our drug laws. And the question is, you know, what do we get from a culture that says drinking your face off is completely fine, but smoking a little weed is completely unacceptable? What is that? What kind of consequences are there from that kind of intolerant policy? 303-713-7600 is the number. Give us a call. Weigh in. We'll go to Mary on the cell. Mary.
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi. You are certainly covering a lot of topics.
A lot, that's for sure.
I'm a criminal justice professor, and these are issues that I deal with on a daily basis in terms of, you know, educating students who are going to be going to work in this field. But You know, one of the issues that you've raised is it has to do with decriminalization of marijuana, and I think that might be a first step, but I really wonder if the effects of that would be what people really think it would be.
What do you think it would be?
Well, I think one of the things, if you take a look at who is actually incarcerated and what their criminal histories are, they're really, people don't land in the Department of Corrections on that first-time drug bust. They have been involved in the system for a long time, you know, failed probation, failed jail sentences. You know, they've been in the system a lot before they actually finally make it to the Department of Corrections. I think that part of the issue is, and actually one of your callers mentioned something about how the sheriff's officer had said that they don't have problems with people who smoke pot. I think you talk to most cops, you ask them if they would rather respond to a call where people have been smoking pot or whether they've been drinking, and they're going to tell you that absolutely alcohol is really the big problem. If you take a look at people who are locked up, substance abuse is very often the underlying cause of the criminality. But the people who are actually in prison on drug charges typically tend to be people who are distributing drugs. It's not the user.
Well, but okay, if you decriminalize drugs, then at least, and if you do it the right way, at least for you will bring the distribution side
absolutely
out into the open.
Absolutely, but I think a larger and more serious issue, rather than the focus really seems to be on decriminalizing marijuana. The much bigger problem in terms of the prison population is cocaine and meth. I just don't see those drugs being decriminalized. I think there may be support for decriminalizing marijuana, but we need to have a much larger discussion about drug policy in general.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, and one caller earlier on brought up the idea of we need to have a drug policy that is less punitive and more towards rehabilitation.
It needs to be treatment-oriented because
right, that's right.
So much of the criminal behavior that happens in this country. Now, the people may be serving time for property crimes, but the underlying reason why they're committing crimes is because of addictions. They need to feed their addictions. And until we get really serious about treatment and using treatment in lieu of incarceration, I don't see much change taking place. I really don't think decriminalization of marijuana is going to do much at all to change the much larger picture.
Well, I mean, I think it will...
I think it will start a conversation.
It would start a conversation. I think it will definitely. It definitely could do something in terms of border violence. I mean, I think that a lot of, and we've talked about this on this show a lot, which is that the black market for a commodity like marijuana has created a very violent situation at our border. That if you bring it out into the open, you can. I mean, that's no small problem. I mean, that's not a small problem. But I certainly agree with you that marijuana seems to me to be the first. It seems to me to be the way into a bigger conversation.
Absolutely.
My
fear is that if marijuana is decriminalized and we don't see significant changes, then if we do it without having a larger discussion about drug policy in general, I don't think it's really tinkering around the edges as far as I'm concerned. And I don't think that we would see the type of systemic changes that a lot of people are predicting, and that's what concerns me.
Well, we might not see the kinds of systemic changes to our whole society, but I'll put this out there on the flip side, which is that if the sky doesn't fall,
true,
then I think people that will open up the bigger discussion. If you decriminalize marijuana and the sky doesn't fall, mm-hmm. I feel like people will be able to have a more rational conversation that goes beyond the sort of stereotyping, the sort of reefer madness, if you will. And I use that term because that was, you know, the old term
sure.
that was brought up to scare people. Oh, reefer madness.
Right.
So I feel like... That is the way into the bigger debate that you have identified, and that is exactly the kind of debate that we need to have. Mary, thanks for calling in this morning.
Can I put in one other real quick thing?
Sure.
In terms of how we change this, it absolutely needs to be framed as an economic issue, because that is where you can get buy-in from all sides. We simply cannot continue doing what we're doing. We cannot afford it. And that, actually, interestingly enough, Republicans are much more supportive of criminal justice reform if you frame it in the economic terms. You're absolutely right. Democrats have often really pushed policies that are extremely punitive because they're afraid of being labeled soft on crime. So it needs to be framed as a money issue.
My only problem with that is that, Mason Tvert brought this up. He said, if you do that, the problem is that the vast majority of the public has shown that it's willing to support issues at its own economic peril if it believes the issue is a threat to their safety and security.
I understand that, but I don't think the public is to the point where they see this as a real threat to their safety and security. If they can see it as a real threat to their pocketbook, though, I think we may be able to really expand the discussion. There are so many reasons to reform this, but I think if the primary framing of the conversation can be that we just simply cannot afford to do this anymore.
Well, and that's
to make real change.
And that's certainly the way the debate has been in the state legislature, and you definitely are right that that's the part of the debate I think that we've seen, at least in this state, Republicans in the state legislature respond most forcefully to.
Exactly. If anybody really wants to find out what's happening in terms of criminal justice reform, there's an organization called the Colorado Criminal Justice Reform Coalition, and they.
Where can they read? Where can people reach that?
Online, just it's CCJRC.
www.ccjrc.org, right?
I believe that's there. But it's the Colorado Criminal Justice Reform Coalition. This is a lobbying organization that has been tracking laws for a very long time that affect the criminal justice system, and they've done some amazing work. I really would encourage people to check out this organization.
Well, Mary, thanks for calling in this morning.
Certainly.
918, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Callers on the line, hang on. We'll get back to your calls after we do a break. 303-713-7600. Let's go to Todd Parker with traffic.
Speeds are finally getting back to normal pretty much anywhere you head.
Spring is here, and now is the perfect time to buy new trees for your yard. Creekside Tree Nursery is fully stocked with fruit trees, and during their fruit tree sale, prices start at only $66 per tree. Spend $500 or more and get free delivery in most areas of Boulder County. Save money, increase the value of your home, and make your yard a living investment. Call 303-668-7647 or visit creeksideboulder.com.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry is proud to present the Peerless Diamond.
That's Jared!
Many experts say the most beautiful diamond is the ideal cut diamond. Exclusively at Jared, the Peerless Diamond, the ideal cut diamond, is tested and certified by two independent laboratories. One measures the diamond's four C's, while the other its radiance and fire. This second report measures what your eyes will have already told you, that the Peerless is one beautiful diamond.
It can only be Jared!
The winner of American Idol.
You are addicted.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol, as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The Season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the 8 Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
.922, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, we're talking about, in the context of the Columbine shootings, which was today is the 10-year anniversary of it. We're talking about criminal justice issues, whether our society is breeding the kind of angst, the kind of stress, through all sorts of intolerant and inhumane policies. And asking the question, does the Columbine shootings and shootings like it, do they go beyond the simplified debates about gun control and video games? And we've been talking in this hour about drug policy reform and how our draconian drug laws incarcerate so many people, so many nonviolent drug offenders, and whether that contributes to this coarsening of our society. And I encourage you to call if you think I'm totally wrong, if you think these issues have nothing to do with a society under severe stress, let me know that as well. 303-713-7600 is the number. Let's go back to the phones. Let's see. David and Berthoud.
Hi.
Hey there.
David, hello.
Hey.
Well, I have a couple perspectives here. I've been an educator since 1981, and I'm not a drug user, but I'm a hippie from the 60s in California. There's some really strange things going on with this whole thing, and, you know, one of the things that we don't seem to want to look at is that marijuana is a huge cottage industry, not for the sellers, but for our law enforcement people. I have so many college students who have had their doors broken down, their property confiscated, all kinds of enormous fines and penalties, and going to alcohol and drug abuse classes, costing on average $10,000 to $20,000 a person. And, you know, I actually think there's a financial agenda in keeping marijuana illegal. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention, and we can get into this, in terms of what is fair and unfair about our judicial system, I have the interesting background of having taught for a couple of summers in the Englewood Federal Correctional Facility, the same place where Timothy McVeigh was held. Amongst my prisoners were many Central and South American young men who were drug smugglers. And, you know, I learned a lot from them about why they're bringing drugs into America. So I don't think our laws are fair. I do think they are punitive to the extreme, but they're done in many cases. It's not the person locked up in a federal penitentiary that we have to, wonder how they're being treated. It's young people who are just being victimized for doing what almost all young people do from time to time, which is they experiment with marijuana. And, Michael Phelps got in all kinds of trouble because someone had a picture of him smoking some pot, and I just wish the guy had stood up and said, it's time for the country to just snap out of it. You know, this is what most young people do from time to time. It should not be a criminal activity. It's certainly not a performance-enhancing drug, you know, and let's lighten up on this thing.
Yeah, well, I think that our society's punitive policies on everything, whether it's drug policy or criminal justice policy, the sort of no tolerance attitude that we've developed, I think only exacerbates teen alienation. you know, it doesn't create a safe space for kids. It sort of culturalizes them to a really punitive atmosphere.
Yes.
And with a society under economic stress, less time for family time, less time for parenting, it just is one of many ingredients that I think makes our society more angst-ridden. And that is alien. Look, here's the thing. When it comes to Columbine and Columbine-like shootings, I think we can mostly agree that it has to do with mental illness and alienation. Those are the two forefront symptoms. But alienation, that is created through so many different societal factors. And I certainly think that one way to alienate kids and alienate people is to have a society that continues to ground itself in more and more punitive policies, whether it's a punitive economy that punishes you for not being able to compete for whatever reason at a level that's demanded of you, even though the system is rigged. I mean, you know, if you don't get a good education, it's hard to compete. But it's we live in a punitive economy, and our criminal justice laws are punitive. Certainly our drug laws are punitive. And I think that just contributes to all of the factors that create this thing we know of as alienation.
I agree completely with you. You know, I see a staggering loss of confidence in law enforcement amongst college-age students, principally because they're being hassled. It's urban to protect. It's the hassle and hassle, apparently. And then as far as Columbine goes, I actually have students who were there. I have a friend who was the poor person who was stuck in the library calling desperately on the phone from underneath a counter. And has PTSD and, you know, is doing much better today, thank God. But, you know, they're confused because they say, I just got hassled on my way to school because of this, that, and the other little minor infraction. But I remember the police standing for 5.5 hours outside of my high school while everyone got shot to heck, you know, and they didn't go in. And so I think there's a real disconnect with young people and our law enforcement officers, because individually I think they're all fine people, but I believe as a body that they are trying to impose sort of a moral training upon our citizenry. And this is reflected by students who tell me that, you know, that after the police busted them for having a joint and, you know, fine the heck out of them and send them through all this stuff, that, you know, they say, quote, I'm trying to make you a better person. And it's like, when did that become their job?
Right.
It's not their job to make anybody a better person. It's their job to serve and protect.
And protect, right. And you know what? It's parents' job to help guide children to become, in part, the people that they're going to be. And when that's part of this issue here, is that when you remove or lessen the impact of parenting, you either create a vacuum or you create a place where other forces that are less equipped to be parents become more and more important. By the way, whether it's right-wing radio or whether it's another institution, the fact is that when you create that vacuum, it's creating, again, part of one of the problems that creates that alienation that ultimately was at the root of the Columbine shooting, and is at the root of all the other shootings. Thanks for the call. We'll do one more call before we hit a break real quick. Pat in Wheatridge. Pat.
Hi, David.
Hey
there.
How
are you?
Good.
You know, the violent video games and movies and that kind of thing, it's all just tinder. I mean, the tinder doesn't light without a spark. And the spark is this whole us versus them mentality, and I think that's what you're getting at when you say alienation. You know, the more we fracture our society, the more we label people, oh, you're liberal and I'm conservative, or you're a pothead and I'm not, or you're a lawbreaker and I'm not, the more you give people the opportunity to see somebody else as the enemy. And when you make that leap, you know, like the Columbine killers, when they decided that they were us and the rest of the students at Columbine were them, then that was the spark, and then they can go and kill them. But
I mean, I don't disagree. The problem is that there are real us versus them fights that are legitimate. I mean, there, you know, if the Wall Street meltdown didn't teach us that our economy is rigged on us versus them, and we, the us, the vast majority of us, are getting screwed by a them, a very tiny minority of speculators on Wall Street. You know, this is. I agree with you, but this is what I worry about: is that like there are certain fights that are us versus them, and then there are other fights that shouldn't be us versus them that are unnaturally ramrodded into that frame.
And I think, unfortunately, I agree with you that there are legitimate us versus them scenarios. But then what happens is, when you get somebody who's making death threats against people who worked at IAG that may not have done anything,
yeah,
why are they getting death threats?
Yeah,
why
you're right.
Getting death threats?
You know what? You're absolutely right. And so,
but now it's dangerous because now we have so many different ways in the media of blunting our affect.
Yeah, but let me
humanizing.
Let me add this: is that I think that what you're really saying is that when the us versus them impulse goes from rational to out of control and to crazy, that's where the problem is. And here's what I'll say, is that I'll say that when you stress out your society, when you push people to the brink, whether your economy pushes people to the brink, whether your poor social services, whether your school system, whether your punitive criminal justice laws pushes society to the brink, you're going to have at the fringes people who can't differentiate between rational us versus them and irrational us versus them that then transcends into the violent. And that's really the problem. Thanks for the call. 933, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number on a beautiful Front Range morning here. 46 degrees going up into the 60s, and later in this week, 70s, and maybe even the 80s. This is the 10-year anniversary of the awful Columbine killings. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. Let's go to Todd Parker with traffic.
It's a busy drive as you're making your way around Denver. We're still seeing some slowdowns on the eastbound side of 270 right around York. Other than that, not too bad. Lots of volume, more than usual for this time of morning. In the high country, if you're deciding to head up there, avoided the weekend storm, taking advantage of the snowfall, however, you're going to find a few icy patches over those higher mountain passes like Vail, Loveland, and Berthet, but no significant problems. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
There's a lot of Americans out there who are worried about how much tax they're going to pay.
Men, did you know your prostate can affect your quality of life? It can affect your urine flow and stream. And let's be honest, it might even affect intimacy. Don't ignore the importance of your prostate. See your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that works with your body to support prostate health and normal urine flow. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 Saul Palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate targeted nutrition. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-491-8149. That's 1-800-491-8149. Don't put off this important phone call. With Beta Prostate, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Call 1-800-491-8149. That's 1-800-491-8149.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome Will Law
for the world premiere
and
Showbiz.
The movie industry is all a Twitter about rumors of a big screen return for Tom and Jerry. If true, they would be following in the live-action footsteps of fellow Hanna-Barbera character Scooby-Doo. According to reports, the new Tom and Jerry movie will focus on how the two characters met and the reasons behind their subsequent rivalry.
Showbiz.
Call 1-800-450-0135. That's 1-800-450-0135. Supplies are limited, so call now.
Right now at the Home Depot, all seed packets are buy one, get one free. You could grow a bounty of fresh vegetables, saving you a bundle at the grocery store. Plus, the Home Depot has organic seeds that are part of our Eco Options program, so you can save green and live green. It all starts with seed packets, two for the price of one. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Offer valid through April 25th in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
If you're ready to consolidate debt or remodel your home, you should talk to TCF Bank. TCF Bank has lots of money to lend. Visit TCF Bank, apply online at tcfbank.com, or give them a call at 1-800-TCF-LEND. TCF National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hey, back to business in a second, but I just read a statistic you won't believe. Get this, over 50 million of us don't have adequate life insurance. Seriously. And most are between the ages of 30 and 55. So if you die, your spouse is left alone, trying to figure out how to make ends meet, borrowing money, draining their retirement, selling the family home. That happened to my mom, and it was tough. Look, if you have a family, you need life insurance. So right now, go get a free quote from eFinancial at 1-800-955-2533, because you will not believe how affordable life insurance is. Everyone's situation is different, but okay, I'll just tell you. I'm 40, in good health. They got me a $500,000 policy for $20 a month. $20 a month. You spend more than that on coffee, right? So seriously, take care of your family. Get your free life insurance quote now. Let me give you the number again. It's 1-800-955-2533. 1-800-955-2533. 1-800-955-2533.
.937 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin. Jay, if you're listening, we're pulling for you. I know it's been a rough couple weeks. Hang in there, man. All right, we'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Walter in Boulder. Walter.
Hey, how you doing, Jay? You said your name was Jay?
No, I'm Dave.
Dave, hey, Dave.
Hey.
I'm pulling for Jay, too. I'm calling for Boulder because I believe that it's very easy to change the laws in the entire nation.
Well, I think it's, I mean, it's certainly, I don't think it's easy.
I think it's easy because right now we make it hard. We put them all in Latin so people can't understand them. We make them convoluted so even lawyers have to spend all their time trying to figure out what they mean. And we expect everybody to follow them, but we don't teach them in high school. I'll tell you what, we start teaching them in high school, guarantee you, they'll all change. They'll become simple, and they'll become people's laws instead of the laws of the wealthy elite.
So you want to see laws taught in our schools?
Yeah, instead of lawyers going to, you know, college for 8 years in order to be able to understand the laws that every single person in this country is supposed to follow. If we want everybody to follow them, we ought to be teaching them to all the people.
You know, I never heard it put that way, but that's definitely an interesting way of putting it. There are we don't have much of a discussion in our school system, certainly not in our school system, about not just what the laws are, but why they exist. I mean, that's
why they're so convoluted.
And why they're so convoluted and why certain laws exist. I mean, yeah, it's, you're right.
How many years of high school would it take for all the students to stand up and say, this is ridiculous?
Yeah,
you guys
want
to teach me this stuff? I can't even understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, but the whole issue with school is, remember, school is really, I don't want to say school, this is the only thing school does, but part of the role of schools, public schools, is to, well, is to make people comfortable with the current power structure. There is an assimilative quality to our education system. It's not the only thing it does, not by a long shot, but there is part of our education system that teaches kids what to accept and what not to question. So you're right. I certainly think that creating an education system where it's safe to question is important. Thanks for the call. Art in Loveland. Art.
David?
Hey there.
How are you doing this morning?
Good.
David, your talk is excellent. I just wonder how many people are aware of what happened in Portugal. In July of 2001, Portugal completely decriminalized drug usage. Since that time, they haven't seen any increase in drug usage. They have seen an actual decrease in their overall crime rate, and they've seen, as it says in the report, other drug-related pathologies, such as sexually transmitted diseases and deaths due to drug usage, have decreased dramatically. And drug policy experts attribute those positive trends to the enhanced ability of the Portuguese government to offer treatment programs to its citizens.
Right. This is part of, by the way, and people should know that, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, this is part of a study commissioned by the Cato Institute, not a liberal group.
Mm-hmm.
This is a conservative group. So the findings, I think that adds veracity to the findings that, again, when Portugal really radically decriminalized almost every substance, every drug, it saw the usage of those drugs and the problems associated with those drugs not increase, and in many cases decrease, because the extra funding was put into, the funding that was saved on drug enforcement was put into rehab and treatment.
Exactly.
And this is, look, this is a European country, right? This is an industrialized European country. This is not some country that has no structural relationship or comparison to the United States. I mean, Portugal isn't the United States, but it is an industrialized European country.
Yes. And they've also, they when they decriminalized it, they didn't decriminalize trafficking at all. Sale and trafficking is still illegal.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the executive summary in that Cato report, it talks about that. And it's confusing to me exactly what all that means. It says that under the new legal framework, all drugs were decriminalized, not legalized. The drug possession for personal use and drug usage itself are still legally prohibited, but violations of those prohibitions are deemed to be exclusively administrative violations and are removed completely from the criminal realm. Drug trafficking continues to be prosecuted as a criminal offense.
That's very, very interesting. Well, thanks for reminding us about it. I appreciate it.
Thank you for bringing it up.
Okay.
Bye.
943, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600, talking about our criminal justice policy. There's a big criminal justice reform bill moving through the legislature. This is the 10-year anniversary of the Columbine killings, and so we're talking all about crime and punishment and the roots of crime, the roots of violence. TJ in Lakewood, TJ.
David, I hope you got your sandals on and had a barbecue yesterday.
Not yesterday. My patio is still drying out, but this week for sure.
Well, get your hair dryer out there and dry it out.
Yeah, right.
My sympathy and compassion to everybody affected by Columbine. A little bit different. I like, and I enjoy your program today, a lot of valuable stuff. I'd like to have the same maybe 3 hours on peace. Not just peace as a intellectual exercise, but peace needs action to win our victories. So maybe all your great listeners could come up with ideas how we can teach peace to the young people, the old people, the people in the middle, and how we can go out and do peace.
Well, my column in newspapers about on this week that was the anniversary of Columbine, I talk about the idea that we really, really do desensitize ourselves to violence, and we really do create the illusion that we need institutionalized violence. I mean, so much of our society is organized around violence.
Absolutely. So let's organize it around peace.
You got no argument for me there. And what I'm saying is, though, is that we don't, you know, it's a scary issue. It's scary to talk about that. People get really, really uncomfortable with talking about how much of our economy is organized around violence. I mean, you just look at the federal budget, $600 billion or $500 billion to the Pentagon. I mean, the Pentagon does a lot. I mean, not everybody who works at the Pentagon is directly involved in violence, but the Pentagon, the military, is an instrument of violence. It is. And I don't make a value, I'm not making a value judgment on that to say that everybody, you know, if you worked in the military, you're a soldier, I'm not making a value judgment on the kind of violence or you as a person, but it's kind of undebatable that the military is an instrument of violence.
Well, it's astronomical. That $600 billion is probably really $1 trillion if you added everything.
Yeah,
together.
Yeah, defense contracts. Yeah. So much of our economy is organized around violence. And
wait a minute. If you go on that chart, come over to the left, the next one is only like, I think it might be education or Social Security. It's only like $50 billion. The $600 billion is so far off the charts, it's not even funny.
Yeah, and the whole issue here is why it relates to Columbine is because, and this is what I said in my column, it makes people uncomfortable, but if you organize your society around violence, if you say that a legitimate expression of national ambition and national self-image is institutionalized violence, if you have a whole pop culture, a media culture, an entertainment culture that sells that concept, that it is a legitimate form of national self-expression to commit institutionalized violence, we shouldn't be shocked that at the edges, at the very fringe edges, those people, those individuals who are on the edge might take that ethos and apply it to their own individual actions. That's the problem. That, to float that out there, it makes people very uncomfortable. But if I'm the one who's got to throw it out there, look, I'll take the hate mail. I got hate mail over the weekend. I got really some threatening hate mail from this column. But we gotta have it out. If we can't have it out of the 10-year anniversary of Columbine, we can't have it out anywhere or at any time. Thanks, TJ. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Bob in Colorado Springs.
Hey, David. A while ago, one of the law enforcement ladies was talking about the economic side. And if people would take a look at an economic study by Professor Jeffrey Myron, it's called The Cost of Marijuana Prohibition. Basically, Colorado spends $64 million every year trying to enforce marijuana prohibition. And we forego another $17 million by not taxing this product. So it's a total of about $81 million that we're basically flushing down the drain every year because we want to keep it criminalized. So just from the economic side, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Now, Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer said, if you only argue the economics of it, people will say, well, I'm willing to take an economic loss on something, on stopping something that is some sort of horrible societal ill, right? And he said, you know, we were willing to spend $2 trillion to go into Iraq when everybody was nervous that if we didn't go into Iraq, we'd be killed by Osama bin Laden. Now, so that's the only problem I have with only making the economic argument, that we've got to also make the scientific argument that says, and rightly so, that marijuana is not as bad for you, or at least not worse for you, than alcohol. Because once you take on the boogeyman, then all the other arguments you can get to.
Yeah, well, Mason is exactly right. But the thing is, if that money we spent trying to enforce marijuana prohibition actually worked, then you might be able to make the argument, hey, it's money well spent, it worked, there's no more marijuana. Well, anybody can see that it doesn't work. I mean, that's the gist of this whole thing is what we're doing isn't working, and we got to be smart enough to think of some better way to spend public dollars than to basically flush them down the toilet every year.
That's right, and that's what David Simon, the creator of The Wire, said on Bill Moyers this weekend, that it's not like this policy is working. It's not like drug use is going down or the demand for drugs is going down. It's just not working. Thanks for the call. 950, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. Let's go to Todd Parker with traffic.
We're still seeing some late delays as I check on those CDOT cameras on 270 right around York, so do factor that in your drive across Commerce City. On the flip side, speeds have gotten back to normal on both 225 as well as on 6th Avenue. Off the highways, watch out for construction crews. They're working 24/7 on Arapahoe between Colorado and Holly. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
This is Tom Harbin. Join me at AM 760 at the Denver.
At John Deere, we don't just build tractors. We build our reputation every day. Whether it's a Gator utility vehicle, an EasyTrac zero-turn mower, or one of our new 3E-series tractors, it's built the best way we know how. That's why they're smart investments, especially now during deer season with great financing at your John Deere dealer. Now more than ever, nothing runs like a deer.
Visit Colorado Equipment in Lamar and Strasburg.
The catch.
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo with a free language lesson, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-400-2969. 1-800-400-2969. 1-800-400-2969.
There are debt cures for almost every situation. No matter how much money you owe in credit card debt, all the information you really need is yours free when you call Smart Debtor right now for your free debt review. We were so shocked at how the credit card companies work to keep you in debt that when we learned about debt solutions they don't want you to know about, we decided to give everyone who calls now a free debt review. That's right, absolutely free. Free. Just call Smart Debtor now at 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218 and get the free debt review that everyone should have. To find out how you can get out of debt now, just call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Again, 800-303-9218.
During the Great Depression, people were frantic to get their hands on gold. With the markets collapsing, people losing their homes, and banks going under, no one wanted to be left out in the cold without reliable assets like gold coins. Today, gold is in limited supply, but the New York Mint is releasing a limited number of coins gleaming in 24-karat gold, the beautiful gold koala. Minted by the Australian government and offered at a remarkable $98 per coin when you call 1-800-700-8926, limit 5 per caller. Gold coins are harder to find than ever, and only a handful of countries have the rich natural resources required to mine this precious metal. But one of those countries is Australia, and the New York Mint has reached an exclusive agreement to release a limited quantity of Australia's glittering gold koala coins at just $98 each, limit 5 per caller. This is a special radio offer, so don't miss this rare opportunity to get your hands on gold affordably. Call 1-800-700-8926. 1-800-700-8926.
9:53, we're going to hit one more call, and then we've got a special song to finish up the day. Shed in Boulder. Shed, you're the last call.
Hey, David. Hey, I just have one question, basically, on the marijuana legalization. I'm totally for it. I mean, it just makes so much sense. But if it's compared to alcohol, here's the big difference. Alcohol's out of your bloodstream in 12 hours, right?
Right.
Marijuana is in your bloodstream for, I don't know how long. I don't know what it's a lot longer than that. So how do you test it? Because I assume you're not going to be able to drive impaired.
Well, I see what you're saying. I'm sure that there's a way, and I'm not a scientist, but there's a way to test for whether you've done it and whether you're driving under the influence of it. There's certainly a way to do that. I'm not a scientist, but there is a way to do that. Thanks for the call. Okay, 9:55. We're going to end the show with this song. It's called Columbine Friend of Mine by Stephen and John Cohen, who were students at the time at Columbine, at the time of the shooting. We wanted to end the show today a little early with this song on the anniversary, the 10-year anniversary of the awful Columbine tragedy. Here we go.
My head, call them by flowers.
precious ones in God's Son. Hope will come, His red stain will take our pain. Columbine, friend of mine, peace will come to you in time. Columbine, friend of mine.
Turn our pain, keep the heart
on,
comfort us with your love, love again. Christ of grace, of tender place, look to you. Honor you, fix you in our view. Columbine, flower blue, tenderly I sing to you. Columbine, rose the red, heartbreak overflows my head. Columbine, friend of mine, peace will come to you in time. Columbine, friend of mine.
Did you know that virtually all replacement windows are tested and rated for energy?
Tim Patton is engineering director for Boulder-based Micromotion and a graduate of the CU Executive MBA program.
Since I completed the CU Executive MBA program, I've become a more integral part of Micromotion. It's enabled me to see the big picture of the company and make better informed decisions about the direction we're going. My company sponsored me in the CU Executive MBA program. Maybe yours will too.
Go to colorado.edu/executive MBA or call 303-623-1888. 623-1888.
Match your credit up to the maximum of 50.